Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the John Morrison to my Miz, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how you
doing? Yeah, the Johnny of Drip Drip, the Shaman of Sexy, the Mayor of Slamtown, the George Bushy of Tushy, all of it. I will be it all. I will have my dripstick ready. Spraying people for this podcast. With Let's dive right in. Let's go.
What are in those dripsticks? Do we?
I don't want to know. Okay. Fluid. Let's leave the fluids out of this one. Yeah. Probably a good idea. But yeah. Mari, okay. Thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for being the Miz to my Morrison. And I hope that you're still friends with Coral and all of our other wonderful friends that we want to have on the podcast sometime.
Man, if we could get Coral on this podcast, I would retire.
I don't know how, but
I know she never watched wrestling a day in her life because of the Miz. Like, he scarred her so much talking about wrestling that she was like, "Never, I don't want to hear it."
Oh God. Well, Coral, if you're listening, hit us up, slide into the DMs, let us know that you want to be on. I'll look into that later. But Mari, it's the wrestling rehap up, not the real world rehap up, the wrestling rehap up, which is somehow in the reality TV rehap up speed, which is questionable at best.
It's not,
but hey,
confused.
We're good.
We're good. Because did you not watch our BB23 crossover episode? It's great. We belong on the reality TV side.
We do.
What is wrestling but scripted reality TV?
We work in the real stuff sometimes, like that Big Brother stuff. Yeah, we're doing it. Checking our boxes.
We did it. Big Brother 23 has just premiered. It is taking up everybody's time, my time. The feeds have been great. If you want to go back and look at our cast assessment, see how these last 3 days, if we clocked anybody from these last 3 days of feed, you can go and check out our cast assessment video on YouTube at Rob Has a Web, has a podcast on YouTube. But it's just been a week, you know, it really has. It's been another week of wrestling. This week of wrestling has been so jam-packed,
exactly, cool.
And I'm just like, I don't know if I can handle it all. My head hurts. Like, I'm excited, but dang, this is so much wrestling. And it's good. It's great to have a lot and have many options.
Yeah, and according to at least what I've seen on Twitter, the feeds, you know, this week in wrestling has been more jam-packed than Frenchie's HOH room with all the conversations he's been having. So, you know, we have somehow kept up with all of it. If you are a BB fan and you're wondering how there's so much going on when only the live premiere happened, well, don't go to Twitter and protect your peace is all I will say. But yes, we did the simulation on last week's episode with Sasha at the very end. So we have our two BB23 winner picks, even though there's only one winner between Aza and Derek X. So we'll see how That works out, but I'm glad Frenchie didn't win the battle royal. We'll keep going.
It looks like one of them might be in a good spot. The other one, not so much. And if you want to protect your peace and not look at Twitter, go check out Taryn Armstrong on Live Feed updates every morning at 11 a.m. Again, at robhaswebsite.com or That's YouTube right. and the RHAP Twitch. So, thank you, everybody.
We
are on YouTube. We have been on YouTube for this season. It's been great. Such a great reception. Thank you for leaving your YouTube comments. We really appreciate it. Please like, share, subscribe, all of that stuff. Again, we're still not YouTubers. So we got to get that lingo down. I want to
like hit home the point. I feel like, you know, we love comments. We love the reviews because, I mean, we're just out here talking, saying a bunch of things that probably don't make any sense. So we want to know if you appreciate it or not. So if you are a listener, if you've been a listener, like drop us a comment on YouTube, leave a review. We actually want to hear from you, or else it's kind of like dark and lonely, you know?
Exactly. And you can always email us any long form questions you have. You can send that email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. And of course, we're both accessible via Twitter. I always say at me. You can reach me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You can also tag us at Wrestling Rehap Up on Twitter, or join the conversation by using hashtag Wrestling Rehap Up as well. Matt, how can the people talk to you?
Find me at Matt Scott GW, and you could follow me and Mari. Mari mentioned Twitter, but we're also on Stereo, and Mari always shouts that out. I always forget to mention follow both of us on Stereo because we go there after the pay-per-views. So we will be on Stereo after Money in the Bank on, I think it's Sunday the 18th. And so check us out there, follow along, and you could submit your audio questions and actually be part of the podcast that way. So follow there at Matt Scott GW, Twitter, Stereo, and also RHAP patron stuff is really important. Mari will give you more details on that, but I am an RHAP patron and would love for you to be part of that community too, especially as we start the month. And then there's also the Job Has a Squadcast group of just RHAP people who also love wrestling. So if you want to be part of that, hit us up. Mari, hit me with those plugs that we didn't cover.
Yes. So you can always join the RHAP Patreon, Patreon at patreon.com/RHAP. Sign up at the beginning of the month to get the full perks. You'll get access to a Patreon feed that has exclusive podcasts, call-in shows, access to the Patreon Discord. And tell them the Wrestling Rehap Up sent you. Like,
yeah.
Let them know we sent you.
You know, we'll be like, Mari, Matt, shout out to them. And even like, you know, go a step further and tweet or tag us wherever you post, just to like let us know, let RHAP know that you're a new patron. I think two things that I love about patron life is, one, nowadays there are patron welcome calls, so all the new patrons coming together, meeting some of the old patrons, talking with Rob and kind of having your questions answered that way. Rob does patron Facebook Fridays, so you could come on and like live podcast with Rob, which is cool. And then speaking of BB23, this is in addition to all the other patron benefits. There is now the podcast The Slop, which was available publicly for everyone before and is now going to be a patron exclusive. So I'm trying to end up on The Slop so I could say things that I probably wouldn't say publicly. I love being a patron. Hope that you'll also join. And again, let us know if you are on board. But anything else, Mari, before we introduce our guests and dive in?
Nope. Thank you for sitting through our plugs. We appreciate it. Or, you know, you probably fast forward through it. That's fine as well. But we have some great guests.
Yeah.
Matt, can you introduce our guests for the week, please?
All right. Whew. Oh, well, first, I'm going to introduce a two-time guest, one of the people in the prolific two-timers club. Mm-hmm. making his way to the podcast, hailing from Baltimore, Maryland, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. And one thing that I love about this man is not his hot, not his spicy, but his lukewarm takes. That's what it's all about. Yes, please. Come on in, Jason Reed.
Let's go. There's no rock crowd yet.
Yes, big Rocky vibe.
We'll put it in post.
Yeah.
Yes. We do need a crowd here soon, or else it's going to be awkward, just like the Thunderdome. But Jason, thank you for being here. And before we kind of catch up with you, I want to introduce a first-time guest. We're making history right now, everybody, because we're welcoming on another member of, well, just like the rest of us, RHAP class of 2020. That was the thing last year. But she covers Big Brother, Married at First Sight. She covered The Circle, loves all the shows, all the things. And the thing that I think is so amazing is that I have my fingers crossed that over the course of this podcast, we're going to see her beautiful, cute puppy Pepper pop up. We might get some of that action. We might get some noodles. Noodles might also pop up. Who knows? But from the Lone Star State of Texas, our own Lone Star, Asia Welch, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! If I had a braid, I would be swinging it. I thought that was amazing. But yes, I'm so happy to be here. It's been a long time coming. I'm glad we could finally make it happen. And I'm just so excited to dive into all of this wrestling. Because man, it's been a minute. I know we'll get into it, but like I was a prime wrestling fan from like ages like 8 to 10. And then I just fell off. I don't know what happened. You just have to talk to 10-year-old Asia, see what she was doing back then. Why did she stop? You know, because she could have learned so much throughout these years. But here I am.
Yeah. Well, we say it every week. Like a lot of our guests, they were there for the heyday. Like everybody was watching in the peak of the Attitude Era, you know, that 97, 2002, like everybody. So we don't shame. We don't get shame over here. No. If you stop at 10, that's okay. We'll keep catch you up, you know? So this is the part where you say like, who were some of your favorite wrestlers back then? Do you remember?
Yeah.
I remembered watching a lot of China. You know, like the Hardy Boys were kind of exciting to watch. Triple H, The Rock, of course, The Rock. Mm-hmm. But that's what blew my mind was seeing like Edge and who else was it? Chris Jericho. I was like, wait a second, I recognize them. What? I did not expect that to happen. Yeah. Those are the like the main people I would think of. I had all the PlayStations growing up. Like I currently have a PS5. Yes. And so like I had one of the games and I would always pick like the similar play. I would always pick like The Rock or China or somebody to wrestle with. Those are people that come top of mind.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. You've been gone for a minute, but you're back. You're back. This is the jump off. We're diving in. And Jason, like, remind the wrestling wrap up listeners, what is your relationship with wrestling?
I don't have much of one. I discussed last time I was here that my extent of wrestling back in the day was my WWE bed sheets when I was a child. but nowadays, it's pretty much the only ones that, you know, permeate the mainstream. So, like, you know, back in the day, I know who The Rock was. I know who John Cena was. I even know who Chris Jericho was. So I would be, you know, familiar with those that like kind of pierced the mainstream and everyone knowing who they were, even if they didn't watch wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's what we're here for. This is what we like. We want to get your fresh takes. I love just sending clips to people and then just figuring out what they're going to think of it, because some of the stuff we send, I'm just like, this is going to be, half of me feels like, should I send more? So there's like explanation.
Just scar them with all of the wrestling shenanigans.
Like, I think it makes it even better for like, what happened here? Why is this happening?
And half the time
half
the time we're confused too anyway, so it's fun. You never know either way if we'll have an answer, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's hilarious with no context, because then we just have all the questions.
Exactly. So that's
what should be a camera on us as we're watching the clips, like
reaction videos. Yeah, exactly. So what we do is every week, we do the highlights of the week from Raw, NXT, AEW, SmackDown. We pull the clips and they're available in our show notes and our episode descriptions. So you can just look in your description, click on the link. It's in a really nice playlist that Matt comes up with every week. And then you can just watch them all the way through and watch along with us. So today we're going to start with Raw. Raw was pretty good, but it was so much filler. So I only picked a few things to focus on, especially since NXT and AEW had really big weeks this week. So some of the stuff I didn't pick was, like, there's a lot of Money in the Bank. Like, they've been picked their Money in the Bank team for like 2 weeks now. So there's a lot of just matches amongst the Money in the Bank participants. We got Jinder and his new entourage, but honestly, we're just going to get to the meat and potatoes. And today we're going to start with the New Day and the Hurt Business. Even though this feud has been ongoing for a while, it just keeps getting better to me. And it's just a testament to not only the work that MVP and Bobby Lashley are putting in, but Kofi and Xavier are just, like, this is just two really good groups to have in a feud. Because again, even though I completely believe Kofi is going to lose that Money in the Bank, like, I don't see any way for him not to, I still am like, what if he doesn't? Like,
Mari, have a little faith.
Exactly. There's a glimmer of hope.
In him.
Yeah, there's still a little glimmer of hope. And even if it's still also an enjoyable ride as well. So our first highlight is just the straight up match, the New Day versus Bobby Lashley and MVP. Tag team match. This was great in the thought process of, you know, the New Day are tag team specialists. They are. They're the longest reigning tag team. They're dubbed the greatest tag team in WWE. So them winning over Bobby Lashley and MVP, it makes sense. In a tag team sort of way, it makes sense. And I liked how they did it, especially with Kofi getting the pin on MVP after Kofi told MVP he's basically the weak link in the group. So I really love that. But I really, really like the Raw talk.
What was going on?
It was amazing. It's just that's the great thing about Raw talk, Jason and Asia. It's after Raw, and it's just they set up a little. It looks like SportsCenter desk,
right?
And then they just pull superstars, and it's all improv. It's all off the cuff. So that's why sometimes you get like bomb promos, like ones that bomb, like not good, and then you get bomb promos that are really good. And I think the New Day is perfect at this. So Asia, what was your thoughts on the New Day MVP and their the New Day's promo at Raw Talk?
Yeah, first of all, the virtual audience, since this is like the very first clip, I was just like, oh my gosh, ideal scenario. You get to enjoy what you want to watch. You don't have to deal with parking. You don't have to do anything. That's why I'm like, they really need to continue some of this stuff. Like, I would love, you just imagine going to a Drake concert, but like on the screen and just like not having to deal with getting dressed, dealing with the, like, oh, just walking up, you know, because I'm always in the nosebleeds. Walking up all those rafters. Like, I would love that. But okay, so I thought this was the ideal scenario for watching this entertainment. I also thought these guys were huge, which was just, I was just like, I couldn't imagine standing next to them. But then just the look on Bobby Lashley's face when MVP lost, like, that would be motivation enough for me to do better. And like you said, like he's seen as like the weakest link, but like, well, yeah, he's looking at him like he's the weakest link. Like he needs to get it together because, or maybe just, I mean, has Bobby Lashley and MVP, have they always been a tag team?
Well, they're not a tag team. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
MVP is Bobby Lashley's manager.
Gotcha.
And MVP is like old school. He's from back in the day, like 2005. And I was like, how are you wrestling with your leg injury? You just said last week that you're injured via your leg, but it makes sense. They're not a tag team. That's why they beat them. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Type deal. So, yeah. Oh, keep going though. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I thought it was a really good match. I thought that New Day was like, they just gelled so well. It was like, they were so crafty and I was glad to see them win. It made sense. And then that conference after, just their energy was amazing. It's like, oh, I fully believe in Kofi. I think he's going to do well. Like, I have all the faith in the world with him. So he was just, they were just, I loved their energy together. So it was really nice to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, but I did have a question. What happened? They were referencing breaking the table. Kofi was breaking it. What happened before? Like, when did he break the table before?
They were all over the place, by the way.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, I think it was, I want to say it was a Talking Smack a while ago, but it was like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like Talking Smack's been on since, like, it's been 5 years since they debuted Talking Smack and then Raw Talk, like, after that. So it was one of their, like, appearances a few years ago, and Kofi was so heated. I think it was on the run up to his title win that he got up on the table and he was cutting his promo on the table, and apparently he broke it. And that's that's what they were clowning on. It that was so funny. R-Truth being there to just help the improv along as well was so funny. I don't know who the new dude's name is. I have no clue what his name is.
I have no clue.
Yeah, they've been they've been having problems with their announcers. Like, some of their announcers have left, and you know, so they've been trying to rotate in new announcers. I have no clue who this guy was. He was funny because he clearly didn't know what was going on either. Right. But R-Truth and them telling R-Truth he was rich, and he's like, I've got this table rich though. And New Zealand glass was just hilarious.
From the Louvre, yeah.
Yes.
But then the way that Xavier was holding the mic, like it was a flute.
Like a corn.
Yeah.
Someone described it as a corn cob.
It's like, it's supposed to be like a kvassi, like something like you're like sniffing it or something, like some wine or something. I don't know, but I love it.
Whole news conference made me very uncomfortable with the way they were talking into the camera, like trying to feel us through the camera.
You didn't feel it? Like, did you touch your screen?
Did you
feel the New Day? Do you feel it? Do you feel my power right now?
Wow, I do.
We didn't touch the screen. Come on. Yeah, it was over the top. Jason, what else? Like, when just look, thinking about the match and the overall dynamic between New Day, Bobby Lashley, and MVP, any other insights that you had from watching all that?
So the last time I was on, I think it was right before Bobby Lashley, or he might have won his title on the week I was on against The Miz, right? I still think of the same thing about him. It looks like somebody put a pump in him and filled him up with air. Like AJ said, the look he was giving at the end was scary. I was scared as well. I first saw MVP wrestling. I was asking, like, who let my Uncle Junebug into the ring? Like, I could hear his joints popping as he's wrestling. I'm like, this man might be a little too old to be doing all this, but I was impressed, as I always am. I'm very impressed with all these people's, you know, athletic ability. I loved Kofi Kingston and Xavier in the ring. They have, like AJ was saying, a lot of great energy. You can tell they've been doing it together for a while. The moves he was making in the ring, like right before he slammed onto MVP, he like did this thing in the air and then flipped over him. Very impressed with that. I love the match itself. Bobby Lashley was kind of dispatched rather easily in that. I'm still trying to work out what the tag rules are. Like, what's legal? What's illegal?
Same. I literally wrote, what is off guard? Because they were doing everything.
And not only in this segment, but all the other segments that we have coming up, I'm like, so who can be, who can fight, who cannot? Is there rules? Do the rules matter? Which I'm sure the rules don't really matter. But anyway, I'm a stickler for that sort type of thing. But enjoyed the match. Again, thought the after match conference was a little creepy, a little too much for me.
You're a hater.
I am. But I enjoyed it overall for sure.
Yeah.
God, yeah, it did actually start to get a little bit creepy. It did start to get a little bit creepy when they were. So, I look, so the progression is they're talking about not being able to stand on the table, and that they made a good point. It's a publicly traded company. They could replace the tables.
Yeah.
Then there was the whole thing, like feeling people through the screens, which is like, okay, I get it. Like, I see what you're doing here. This is unique. And then they're talking about eating people. And that's where they lost.
They want to consume us. Someone said at one point, yeah. I was like, no.
I think that was Kofi mostly with his, there were some cannibal tendencies.
It was because they went from the publicly traded company to we're bringing live audiences back. And then they said the live audiences can pay for the table.
Yes.
And then when they brought up the live audience, they were like, now we'll get to feel you and see you again. And that's how we got on that road. And it was.
I felt that. I felt a producer off camera that was like, no. Do not.
Right. Honestly, yeah, I think like most of what happens, Mari was referencing this just Raw Talk being more improv based. And I think like half the time when we watch those clips, I'm like in pain because the person who's talking just looks so uncomfortable not being scripted. Comfortable. Like they know who they are and where they are. They're not losing their jobs anytime soon. I don't know what they'd have to do actually to get fired, but I don't want to find out.
Asia, for sure, I thought you would enjoy one of the New Day. I think it was Xavier had a trombone just out of nowhere.
Yes. Like,
where is that? Where did that come from?
Yeah. New Day has always had a trombone. Francesca, this is Francesca
too, because
Francesca 1 was demolished a long time ago. But I mean, honestly, guys, if you went and Googled like the highlights of the New Day, you would not be disappointed. They've been a tag team it's been about 7 years, 6 years, and they've done amazing things. Like Matt said, they are so confident in what they do that they could say, we want to eat your young, and I'm still over here laughing. Right. You know, so.
Wait, do they play the trombone?
Yes, Xavier Woods does. Xavier Woods plays the trombone to their like they use it more when they're heels. When they were heels, he would be really obnoxious with it, and they have their chant New Day Rocks, New Day Rocks, and he'll like blow it to that. When they were heels, when they debuted it, he was playing like New York, New York, I think, on it because they debuted it in Brooklyn. That year, so there it is. He plays it. He can actually play it. Xavier Woods is a international man of mystery because he is he has a PhD. He's really smart. He plays video games. That's why he holds his microphone like a smart person. So, New Day are amazing. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna have to start holding my mic on all video podcasts that.
I mean, let's go.
The entire time.
Let's go. It's so good. Had to include them on here because they're just so good. The New Day is just so freaking good. Next up, we have Rhea and Charlotte continue their feud. Rhea Ripley emerges with an injury during Charlotte Flair's medical update. So the tease before we went to our commercial is Charlotte Flair is going to come out to give a medical update. And Charlotte, we start with Charlotte. Charlotte's in the ring. She has her crutch on. She's talking about how, you know, Rhea went so low as to hurt her with her own move and that she might not be able to participate at Money in the Bank. We get Rhea Ripley coming out on a crutch too, but she's obviously pretending. So once she gets in the ring, she's like, I'm just doing what you're doing. And then we have a standoff. They both have the same mindset. Neither of them are injured. They then start swinging crutches at each other. Jason, let me just get your, what did you think about this clip?
I was in, and then I was even more in when they started swinging the crutches. I was like, oh my. Like, I thought I was watching, like, the lightsaber duel on Family Menace, Phantom yes. Menace. You know, I was like, oh my lord. Like, give me, like, the fancy music in the background. Like, and I mean, like, I feel like one wrong move, if someone's literally getting a crutch to the head, and it's over. So they props to them for getting the choreography down, but it was intense. It was definitely intense. Like they broke both crutches at one point. Right. It was good.
Yeah, I did not expect for Charlotte Flair's injury to be fake. Like, I thought, okay. I was like, how rude of Rhea Ripley. Like, you do not kick a woman when she's down. How are you going to make fun of her like this? And she's actually injured. And so,
love it.
To my shock, they were both faking and I was caught off guard. And so I just thought, I was, like, it took me a second to recover. And then I was so impressed by the, like, the choreography as well, because that could have ended so badly. Because that's a very, just a very unique prop, or a unique what do you call it? Yeah, the thing prop. That you use. Yeah, prop.
So a weapon.
Yeah,
medical device. Right.
Yeah, medical equipment. Yes.
I didn't know who Rhea Ripley was, so at first I was like, "Is Marilyn Manson guesting on this episode?"
Wow.
I was like, "What's happening?" I said, "She looked like," and I was like, "Who is this person?"
Whoa! So yeah, I thought it was a very interesting and nice little short match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll just, he said Marilyn Manson.
Oh, man.
I see it. So yeah, and I think the other part of this too is that I didn't actually get that Charlotte wasn't injured until, like, I watched it back again, because I was like, wait, is she just like, she has to fight now. So she has to drop the crutch and, like, swing, right? How injured is she? And then I'm like, oh wait, she's not injured at all. So she was completely faking. That took me a while to figure out that she was actually faking. So
to go behind the scenes, was she actually injured and she got better? And
No,
she's completely faking it. But WWE kind of did a good job of trying to, pass it off as it was, she was probably injured, because they tweeted, if I remember correctly, they tweeted beforehand, like, oh, Charlotte's going to give a medical update on Raw. Mm. And, you know, you already have the trolls in the mention saying, oh, is she pregnant? She pregnant? We're wishing pregnancy on her so she can go away.
Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably like the go-to for most of those tweets. So like, when, medical update. Exactly. Right, she's definitely pregnant. That's it.
Right.
They're already congratulating her and buying her like baby carriages all the stuff off the registry.
They did do a good job. We all know Charlotte is a heel. I am notoriously not the hugest Charlotte fan. So I was like not fooled for a second. However,
wow, again, look at that.
Again,
she's like, she's fake.
She's so fake.
I know, bad if it was fake. Real, wouldn't you have felt bad?
No, you wouldn't have.
Because
that's not how. Because also, they did do a good job of it, but not often do these medical like updates really like if somebody is injured, it's like breaking news. So and so is injured. You know, it's very somber. It's not, we're about to parade you to the ring and make a thing of it. So, but I will say again, Charlotte is in her bag in this feud. Like, she's doing so good, like so freaking good. And yeah, she is the top heel. She is the villain. And again, it just sucks because she's not the champion and Rhea is the champion and Rhea was supposed to be the top heel. So again, I'm loving this story. But if it doesn't end well, then this is just going to be another where I'm just like, well, that's what I thought it would be. Because
Mari, I love, keep going. I love how much you love, you're just praising Charlotte nowadays. I can't get enough of it.
It's so rare, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a hater. Like, she's doing great work. She looks amazing. And I think she's enjoying this feud, because that's most of my gripes with Charlotte is like, you can tell when she's enjoying the feud and putting like 110% effort in it. And then you can tell when she's like phoning in it. So she's clearly not phoning it in here. But again, if she doesn't lose this feud overall, then this is going to be like Triple H versus Booker T at WrestleMania 19. This is going to be like you really just told a great story and completely botched the ending, and now it goes down as one of the greatest flops in the history of WWE. So if Rhea wins this, they have a star on their hands, and then they will have to figure something out to get Charlotte. They're gonna have to do something with Charlotte. What? I have no clue, but I'm loving the feud. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I'll just add, like, the thing I love about this the most is that it's just such a unique story compared with everything else. You have like these two heels up against each other. So that's something that we don't get all the time. And you said it all, Mari, but I love that the dynamic is something different. And then they're like, oh, we're going to give a crutch fight this week and see how that goes. Right. And so just like mix it up, throw in different stuff. Mari, you're going to have to prove to me though that like Charlotte didn't like follow you on Twitter or slide into your DMs or you don't owe her money or something, because I don't feel comfortable with how much you're praising her right now. I feel like something's off, but whatever. Yeah. I'm not gonna mess up your bag.
That's what happens when you give Charlotte a different storyline other than I'm the greatest, and then you have, you know, the problem with her other storylines is she's like, I'm the greatest, I'm the queen, I'm the respect, blah blah blah, and then you have the good guy who's just like, it's okay, I'm going to beat you. Like, I love that Rhea is like getting down in the muck with her. She's like, you know, you can play dirty, I can play dirty too. Like, I love that dynamic. It, like you correctly pointed out, Matt, it's such a different take on this storyline that I'm like, okay, I haven't seen this 80 million times, and I don't already know the outcome yet. So very intriguing. And those two women are doing a great job. You know, again, props to Rhea. It sucks that Rhea is the Raw Women's Tag, Raw Women's Champion. Sorry. And she is the footnote in this. So in order for that to change, she needs to beat Charlotte.
So what you're saying is Charlotte Flair paid you to say these things.
I wish, please, open for bribes.
Give me the bank statements.
At Mari talks too much on Venmo and Cash App.
Exactly, right. Because like, I'll gladly say some nice things for some money. Next up, more women's action. We had an 8-woman tag team match, which was interesting. And when I say interesting, the clips do not do this feud justice. Like, it really doesn't. We watched Raw. So the match was Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Naomi versus the officially crowned Nikki A.S.H. Thank you for clearing that up, WWE. versus Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Eva Marie, and Doudrop. So the match itself, oh my God, they gave them so much time. It was amazing. I think it was over like two different commercial breaks, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
If you count the entrances, I think it was three. So again, the clip is like 3 minutes, so it really doesn't do it justice. But before the match, we got Nikki, formerly Nikki Cross, has officially changed her name to Nikki A.S.H., which stands for almost a superhero. She's backstage with she was backstage with Naomi and Asuka, and Naomi and Asuka were bigging her up, like, oh, that's great, you know, glow up. And then Nikki was like, oh, again, her babyface promo, like, I just feel the spirit in me, and I'm almost a superhero, and I'm awesome, and I'm gonna win Money in the Bank. And I like how Naomi was like, nah, sis. She's like, I'm gonna win Money in the Bank, but I love the enthusiasm. I was like, oh, thank God, because and then Alexa comes up, you know, weird. And then we go into the match. And one of the things that I really didn't like that wasn't in the clip was Alexa started doing her mind control power things on Reginald. And Reginald started like going towards her, and Shayna was like trying to snap him out of it. And all of a sudden we see Shayna exit the frame, and then we're just getting Alexa and Reginald like slowly looking at each other and stuff. And then all of a sudden Shayna comes out of the other side and like takes Alexa off the apron, throws her into the barricade, and Alexa is out for the rest of the match. So in the clip you guys saw, you didn't even see Alexa Bliss because Shayna had taken her out. And it was such a good match though. Like at one point the good guys who had done all of their high flying flips took everybody out, and then were standing in the middle of the ring. Like somebody called them the Suicide Squad, which was just so hilarious because, you know, Nikki, Alexa, Naomi and Asuka, they were all dressed so colorfully. It really did. Yeah. Like, oh no, they call them the Birds of Prey. It was really good. But the best thing that we got, and what you'll see in the highlights, is Nia Jax was able to pin Nikki A.S.H., and the bad guys got the win. But before the announcer could announce that the bad guys got the win, Eva Marie took the mic and declared herself the winner, even though she spent all of the match outside of the ring. She I don't think she wrestled, not even once. Very, very good match. We got a little snippet of Shayna and Nia just being funny at the end, talking about how they don't want to talk about Alexa Bliss. I am going to stop talking now. Let me go to Matt first. What did you think of this this whole exchange here?
Eva Marie. Let me talk about Natalie Eva Marie, almost runner up. Could I say fourth runner up to Celebrity Big Brother 2, fifth runner up maybe? Fifth runner up, Natalie Eva Marie. Fifth runner up to Celebrity Big Brother 2. She's athletic. She's talented. She holds the microphone. She knows how to announce her name in a really annoying way. This is great. I like her gimmick a lot. I like that. I mean, I think it's funny when I see online that people like legitimately hate her and they're like, oh, she can't wrestle. Look at her. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, you're just leaning into the gimmick of it all. And we really haven't seen her wrestle since she's gotten back. She was in WWE. Well, she left WWE, I guess, initially about 5 years ago, probably 5 years ago next month. And then, you know, was on Celebrity Big Brother 2, did a bunch of other things, and then finally just came back last month. And I'm into what they're doing with her. It's a little strange and confusing. You don't know where it's going, but I'm going to stick with my assumption that this is her intern boss. You drop being the intern kind of gimmick thing, and it works. So hopefully maybe this is our storyline of the summer, Mari, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, Eva literally avoided everything in that match. Every single thing. Again, even in the main meatness of the match, she barely did anything. And this gimmick of just crowning herself the champion or the winner is pretty funny. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Nia and Shayna are being roped into it a little bit, because Nia and Shayna, I've talked about it so many times, I really like them as tag team champions, but also like just they're goofy. I love their charisma. That's why I included the clip of them in the back talking about like the announcer tried to say, oh, well, how are you going to deal with Alexa Bliss? And Shannon's like, I told you guys not to ask me about that.
She put in a memo. Like,
memos. Are memos still a thing?
For Shayna.
At my job, yes.
Typewriter and everything, yeah.
I feel like at my job, even when we were in the office, they were just non-existent. Maybe like 8 years ago, but now it's like, no, send an email or that's it.
Yeah, no, fax. Yeah, fax it.
Yeah. Asia, what did you think of the match itself?
So yes, as someone who didn't know any of them except for Eva Marie, it was a lot. 4v4 is a lot. I thought it was very colorful. It was very appealing to the eye. When Nia Jax pinned her down at the end and did that wink, I thought that was amazing. It was just that I was like, yes. Okay. I wanted y'all to win now. now I'm rooting for y'all. Now that I saw that, the move by Eva Marie to crown herself as the sole winner was a little odd. But when I did see her and I was like, oh, wait, I didn't even know she was in this match. And then I see her and then I'm like, I know her from somewhere. I pause. I'm like sitting there thinking, and then I'm like, Celebrity Big Brother. How did I not make the connection? I know she said she was a wrestler, right? When she was on the show.
Yeah.
I just did not make the connection that I guess I would ever see her in action. So that was interesting to see too. I would like to actually see her do something. I didn't know that she only came back a month ago. So I guess she had some time to kind of figure out her way. But it was interesting. It was a lot.
Yeah
exactly. and no fault to you too, because she dyed her hair. She was, I think she was like a, I don't remember what her hair color was in Celebrity Big Brother, but she purple. So she was like redhead and then it was purple. And then, so she's, she likes to switch it up. But Jason, what did you think about all of this?
Well, first, like, it was good that you mentioned the Alexa Bliss earlier, because I saw her name in the segment. I remembered her because she was, last time I was on, she was possessing. Who was that? Who was that she was torturing?
Randy Orton, probably.
I was expecting some of that. I didn't see her. I was like, oh, I missed. I don't know where she went. But then I saw Eva Marie, and I was like, ooh, I know her from Celebrity Big Brother. I know who that is. Like, even wrote in my notes, I know who that is. And I was almost expecting Lolo Jones to run out and tag in.
Right.
I was like, where's Lolo at? You know Lolo can go crazy, so I was like, where's she at?
Right. That's a good idea.
Wouldn't even be surprised.
Wrestling and Lolo, that sounds like a match made in heaven to me.
Right?
Absolutely.
He has a temperament for it, for sure. We've seen it in many shows.
Yeah, wait till the Olympics are over. Lolo, WWE, they need to have a conversation.
Wait, is she in the Olympics this year?
She's bobsledding, so I guess that's not her. She does hurdles, but I guess she's not in her prime anymore, so no.
We're gonna see Lolo Jones and Jason Reed versus Eva Marie and Lolo Jones and Eva Marie versus Jason Reed in Asia.
We're gonna
flip it, but clearly Asia wants some smoke. We don't want any problems. We love Lolo Jones.
I love Lolo Jones. I love you, Lolo. Don't come
positivity.
Lolo, you're awesome.
Alone.
Love you on the challenge.
Alone.
There's no enthusiasm in that, but
I wasn't sure what the official rules would be. I said, can Eva actually declare herself the winner and it be counted as the winner? I didn't know, because the announcer at the end was like, oh, she just proclaimed herself the winner. I was like, so is that official now?
She was on the winning team, but like, she's just not the sole winner. So it just doesn't make sense.
Half-truths. It's just a half-truth.
It's like she had no part in that. Like, okay, even if you were the one to pin her down, you're still not the sole winner, but I could see how you would have that ego about you, but she didn't even do that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the one person on your four person tag team that gets pinned? That's got to be the worst like position to be in on your tag team.
But see, that's why they had Nikki A.S.H. take the pin, because she has that underdog type of story. So her getting pinned, she was winning before this. So she was winning before this. So this is her first pin here. So if they continue to pin her like next week before Money in the Bank, maybe my prediction of her not winning might not be true. But I can't see Nikki A.S.H. winning Money in the Bank. It never works on a white meat baby face.
White meat baby face. Break that down for me.
Come on.
A white what?
So when you have a face and heel, that's your basics. So you have a heel who's a bad guy, a face who's a good guy. But there's like different levels. So then instead of a face, you have a baby face. So that's somebody who is like literally very squeaky clean. Like there's no shades of gray. Like sometimes you can have faces with shades of gray. A baby face, no shade of gray. A white meat baby face is like the purest baby face like ever, and that's exactly what Nikki A.S.H. is. That's what her character as this new superhero is. She's like all positivity, all love and light, all like believe in yourself, kids. Like she is a pure meat baby face. I'm trying to think of other examples of that, but it's a lot of like, if I say The Rock, he's two shades of gray for him to even be considered like a face. Like he was such a in-betweener, like a tweener. That's what they call a tweener, is half face, half heel. So Nikki is just her character is just, it's too squeaky clean. And when you win Money in the Bank, that's the briefcases that were above the ring. You have the opportunity to cash in the Money in the Bank for up to a year. And that type of gimmick works better with heels, or at least faces with shades of gray that are willing to do underhanded stuff, because it's just way more compelling. A white meat baby face who wins Money in the Bank will tell you a month ahead of time they're going to cash it in, which is so boring. So just my little soapbox there.
I was trying to be creative and come up with a bad superhero name for this person, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't come up with it. Does she have her own superhero name? What is it?
See, is it, that's, just... that's what we were talking about, because they had to get her last name off of her. Her original last name was Nikki Cross. So last week they started planting the seeds of her. She kept saying, I'm almost a superhero. A-S-H. So she went to Nikki Ash this week officially, which just doesn't make sense to me, because if she's just playing a superhero character, just give her a superhero name as opposed to...
It's too easy.
I mean, maybe she, because she's almost a superhero, maybe when she becomes a superhero, she'll get a superhero name or something like that. But it just doesn't make sense to have a regular person name and you're supposed to be a superhero. I don't know.
Ash is also not like a great...
Not name. At all.
Like, for a superhero, Ash?
Exactly. Not right. I mean, four black people on this panel. We know. Ash is not good.
Positive.
That's not what you want.
Right. So, yeah. I like the continuation. I think next week, all of the women in the Money in the Bank qualifying match are just going to be doing a fatal four-way. So that means Naomi, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki will be in a fatal four-way. It'll be interesting to see if Shayna or Nia or Eva Marie. Maybe we transition to Eva Marie and Doudrop versus Nia and Shayna. That could be a really good program, especially since we're going to get like Nia versus Doudrop. That's if we talk about big meaty men, we're going to have some big meaty women.
They said Doudrop, and I was like, it's a little more than a drop, but I'm like,
okay. We're still confused about that name, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Nikki Cross Nikki Ash could be Doudrop, and it'd make more sense to me as her superhero name. Like,
right.
Can we do a switchy or something?
Or like know. A do Ash, drop Ash, Ash drop, Ash drop.
Drop that Ash.
Yes.
This isn't the podcast for that.
so to kind of educate a new black me, I think I understand the Money in the Bank concept. I think I've seen it before, where they're trying to get the ladders and they're trying to get the briefcase out of the air. Yeah. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. Which also, by the way, why is it like a briefcase? Like who's carrying those around on a day to day basis anymore?
Everyone, apparently.
It's like maybe they can make it more modern, like go up and grab
a wallet. TikTok
video of Vince McMahon dancing and saying that you won Money in the Bank would probably be more modern than a briefcase.
Like a thumb drive with all your important papers.
Yeah.
No, like an iPhone that once you unlock it, it's going to show Venmo. And then once you go in there, you'll see your Venmo account balance is... You know, through the roof.
Guys, when I tell you the refs have a hard time with this briefcase, they would never be able to do any of the things you go look up Money in the Bank cash-ins on YouTube. And it's always like, you have to take the briefcase because it has a contract in it. You have to hand it to the ref and tell the ref you want to cash it in right now.
And you have to hit your briefcase. You have to do one of these like...
It is so ridiculous.
I'm cashing in. And they're like, are you cashing in?
Yeah.
What, are you going to do it? I'm doing it. That's why I'm here. Like, it's so chaotic. They're always so confused.
Yeah. And it's always a matter of of time, because they're trying to... normally the champion is down because they just got beaten up. So they want to go in and they want to cash in really quickly. But the rest are all like, are you sure? You sure? You want me to take this?
This briefcase? Like, you sure this is it?
Every time.
Their direction is just to act as confused as possible.
Yeah. They really got to upgrade this ref training.
No.
These refs are just terrible. They got to upgrade the ref school, the ref training, wherever they go to.
I was going
to
say, they probably don't have great training on what to do when someone's cashing in the Money in the Bank. And that might be what's going on in the moment. But I mean, look, they try. They try their best.
I love it. I love a good ref confusion, a ref bump. I'm okay with it.
We'll go with it.
So finally, something I really wanted to highlight here, because this is some great storytelling. We get Mustafa Ali versus Mansoor. in a match. And Mustafa gets his leg caught in the ropes. Mansoor stops to help him. And then Mustafa rolls him up to get the three. Afterwards, Mustafa gives a great post-match advice to Mansoor, and it is so good. Like, this whole feud is so good, and I feel like it touches on a lot of stuff that people might not even realize the layers. But more so, Mustafa is telling Mansoor, like, you're too nice. Don't be nice. Don't be like what happened to me. Because what you guys don't know is Mustafa Ali, when he first entered the WWE, it's been a while. I can't even, at least 4 or 5 years. He came in saying, like, he is a proud Muslim man. He was a former Chicago police officer, and he wants to show, like, you know, I want to be that representation. I want to show you. He was a baby face. And And people loved him. They called him the heart of 205 Live. He's an amazing talent and such a good face. He turned heel about 2 years ago and hasn't been getting as much attention as I would like throughout his heel turn. But they are just now giving him this storyline with Mansoor. And basically, Mansoor is from Saudi Arabia, if I remember correctly, Matt. Right? Right. They found him when they were doing the Saudi Arabia tour. And Mansoor is new. He's up and coming. He was on 205 Live, and he's giving off babyface right now. So Mustafa is trying to tell Mansoor that's not how to do it. These people, you know, don't try and be nice. You know, learn from my mistakes. Nice gets you nowhere. So this feud is just so, like, uniquely beautiful in a way, because I also think it talks about respectability politics among people of color. So very, very good feud for me personally. Matt,
to that point, that's like one of my criticisms with WWE sometimes, and even leading into Bianca versus Sasha in the main event, two black women in the main event of WrestleMania. They like barely mentioned the fact that there were two black women in the main event of WrestleMania
until the night of.
Yeah, like literally it was, I feel like it was like one or two comments they made where they pointed out their actual race. And so that's kind of where I wonder, do you think that they're addressing that properly or enough, Mari, at this point? Because to me, it seems like they kind of like brush over something that like we might see as people of color, but like that like white person might be like, oh, it's just two people wrestling.
Exactly.
Why do you guys talk about color all the time?
About race. And that's what we were talking about with the Kofi and MVP thing, not just 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, MVP told Kofi that he was shucking and jiving. I don't really mind it, honestly, because for me personally, I don't need to be spoon-fed that. Yeah. I get the masses might need to be. Exactly. But honestly, some things are just not for you. Some things are not for you. You know, some wrestling things are not geared towards me. We're going to get into some of them today. I can guarantee you that. So, you know, just stay in your lane. You know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. You don't got to be negative. You don't got to, you know, go and give your 2 cents. But I like this. And I really don't feel like it really needs to be like overt. That's just my opinion. Asia, what do you think?
I don't know. Like, now looking back, yes, I feel like that would have been, like, I did feel like watching them as two men of color, I did think like, oh, this is pretty cool. But in the moment, I wasn't thinking like, okay, other people are probably not thinking this. It was like, of course, that's like my natural when I'm watching it. And so I did think it was, I liked seeing them. And I thought it was so funny though, that like, Why was Mustafa trying to use that as an opportunity, like during the match, to teach him something? He's like, you're too nice. You're thinking with your head and not your, or you're thinking with your heart and stop thinking with your heart and only think with your mind. And he literally said the same thing, you know, post match. But I'm like, you also said that during the match. Why? Why not just wrap it up, have this side conversation? It was like they were trying to like kill two birds with one stone you know, having him like as the more experienced person helping out this baby face. You know, so I thought that was just so weird. And then he took advantage of it by faking the injury and then winning. So that it was an interesting match. But yeah, I didn't, until now, y'all discussing it, I didn't realize why this match felt different. And that's exactly why.
Yeah. And just to kind of like add to that. So like, this is the type of stuff that I wish would come up more, but Mansoor from Saudi Arabia, Mustafa is from the Illinois area, but his parents are, I looked this up because I was like, his parents are Pakistani and Indian descent. And I mean, even just that nuance of them not just being like two people from the Middle East, which is how someone who is white might read that. is, you know, I just feel like it's helpful for people to see like, oh, okay, these people are not from the same place and they're not, you know, they're not a monolith in any way. But I'm not ever looking to WWE to educate people. What are we talking about? Come on. But I did think that was an interesting dynamic, because I wrote down that Mustafa said like, the high road will only get you so far. And like, looking at him, he hasn't gotten that far in whatever road he's been on, unfortunately. Right. And so,
and that's what he's saying. He was on the high road initially.
Oh, yeah. He needs to get lower then, I guess.
Yeah.
If I'm on, sir, I'm like, can we have this conversation like sitting down at a table? Like, I don't think me up while trying to give me this advice. I mean, geez, like, you could have delivered this to me a different way.
Right. Yeah, because if I'm Mansoor, I'm like, I'm in no position to hear what you're saying right now. Like, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to focus on what move I'm going to do next. But it's like, Mustafa was coming from a place of like, you would have thought he was like this older brother, and he was mad at his little brother for constantly breaking the rules and or constantly being too sweet and getting taken advantage of. And he's like, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to take advantage of you. You're going to leave your candy on the counter. I'm going to eat it, because you should not be leaving your candy out. I tell you this time and time again, but they're in a wrestling match. So it was just like wrong time, wrong place.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Jason, any final thoughts on Mansoor and Mustafa?
No, I thought it was a good match overall. I was confused. Like, so are they friends? Are they related? Right. So I know there's a lot of like relations in the WWE, like a lot of family. So I didn't know. Like we said, it's hard to teach a lesson while you're trying to beat somebody up. But okay, I was wondering, like, should I go? This is the way I should go about trying to teach my friends things, like give my friends advice. Hey, look, come here, let me beat you up while I'm telling you, like, don't go out with that girl or something. I don't know. Like, this is how I should go about it.
I learned some of the hardest lessons during some beatings. We're breaking the cycle.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun match, a fun lesson match. I guess I would call it a lesson match.
Yeah, exactly. And what we're all hoping is it ends in them forming a tag team, because they are two like really good, like high flying, like really talented wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Especially for Mansoor to only be doing it but for a few years now. I think it's been like 3 or something like that. So I want to see them as a tag team. A heel tag team would be great, because WWE definitely needs tag teams. The Raw Tag Team Champions aren't even defending their championships right now, because AJ Styles is in Money in the Bank. So they need tag teams. And so this could be a good route. It's a good slow burn. So that's it for the Raw highlights. Again, all of the highlights can be found in our show notes and our descriptions. If you're listening to the podcast or on YouTube, you can check us out there. Let's take a quick break.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so we're back. NXT. NXT had the Great American Bash. Like, again, this is very weird to me. We keep saying, like, there was just a takeover, like, 2 weeks ago. This is kind of like a special episode because it's still in their regular Tuesday time slot, but it was actually kind of pushed, like, it takes you back to the old days where, like, there wasn't pay-per-views every month and it was like specials every other week on TV, and then you would just pay for the big pay-per-view like once quarterly. So this was a special episode, the Great American Bash. I mean, it was great. The biggest thing that I liked about it is it still felt like a episode of NXT, because normally their takeovers are just matches. It's just like the four matches. You don't really get many promos or anything in between. But this, they did a really good job of breaking up the matches and keeping like the promos, the special face-to-faces, stuff like that. So we have to start. I love to start with what I want to start with. I'm gonna start with whatever I want to. And the highlight.
Boss lady.
Yes, this is what I do. get your own podcast. You can start whatever you want to, fans and listeners. But my favorite thing of the night was Hit Row's North American title Cypher celebration. And I mean, wow. Talk
this
about
is
like,
the most. This might need the most explanation on. Like, is this a thing that happens regularly?
Right, yeah, are ciphers a normal thing?
No,
with NXT.
No.
Okay,
no, and that's what's so cool about it. Like, exactly. The fact that we. Okay, Mari, just take this away. Take it away.
Okay, so basically, Isaiah Swerve Scott. He's over here. He has the title to the left here. If you're watching us on YouTube or pulling up pictures, so you know. Feel free to go check that out. So Isaiah Swerve Scott just won the NXT North American title last week. So this is basically their celebration. They're celebrating his win. And they're celebrating it by a cypher. And they had announced the cypher. And I love a good cypher. I watch the BET Awards occasionally. And for those who don't know what a cypher is, it's basically just when hip hop artists get into like a room, they drop a beat, and then they just freestyle, each passing the mic around. XXL has a great cypher they do normally like once a year. So this is how they decided to celebrate. And it was amazing because Hit Row, the three people who rap, there's three of them that are, they're all actual rappers. Ashanti, the Adonis, the one in the purple, the long sleeve purple. He's the only one who's just a wrestler. That's why he pretended to DJ instead of.
Yeah, I was going to say, when's he going to start rapping? He was like,
stay in your lane.
DJ Khaled of sorts.
He's no DJ Khaled, no Flavor Flav, but he's a wrestler.
Unfortunately, again, the clip didn't have the full cipher because B-Fab, also known as the rapper Brianna Brandy, she went first, and then Top Dollar is in the back. That's AJ Francis. Jason, like the former like linebacker for the 49ers. I don't know. Football.
this guy right here.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah. Sports.
Sports ball. He plays sports ball.
Yeah.
He's here as Top Dollar. And then Swerve is where the clip started. Like Isaiah Swerve Scott is an actual rapper. Like he released an EP and everything. So this cypher was just amazing. It literally, I was like, I love seeing this. This is like black people in their natural habitat. Mm-hmm. This is like everything I wanted. Unfortunately, that crowd didn't know what was they going on.
They were in their stone face. Like,
they were literally like, where am I right now?
Yes. Which works because, right, where's the wrestling? Because technically they're bad guys. They're like, they're heels. Mm. They're legit heels. So for that audience, that makes sense. For me,
I think these people might think they're bad guys for a different reason. I'm not sure.
I am with you.
So not only did we get the cipher, we then got them performing. That is their actual like entrance music. They all recorded that when they got into the ring.
So are they all wrestlers?
Oh yeah. They're wrestlers who are also rappers.
Gotcha. Multi-talented.
Why this gimmick works. Like, we talk about gimmicks and how, you know, some of them can be stereotypical, but the best gimmicks is yourself turned up to 11. And again, three of them are actual rappers. Like I said, Ashanti was like, yeah, no, I'm not.
I'm really glad. Like that. I was worried because I was like, what is he going to try? Is he going to try?
He's sure, I'm with you guys, but I'm not going to do much.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine because they're all in a group and they're all in a faction. They're there to make sure Isaiah Swerve keeps his championship. They are wrestlers. Top Dollar and Ashanti will probably challenge for the tag team titles at some point. So it's just so good. And that's why I don't like, you know, some people are going to be like, oh, that's so stereotypical. Why are the black wrestlers rappers? Well, because they're actual rappers and it doesn't feel fake or forced, or I don't know. Jason, what did you think with no context?
I feel bad that you're saying they're actual rappers because I didn't think it was that great.
Okay, Benzino, like, what is this?
Like, the first guy started, I was like, Kendrick Lamar, he is not. So I feel kind of bad. I appreciate the Beyblade reference in his rap as a kid of Beyblade back in the day. But as it went on, I was enjoying it more. I did clock the audience reaction when they were showing the audience. I was looking at the audience. I said, okay, yeah, these seem like people that would probably not appreciate this, but okay. But you know, it was fine. It was fine. I don't want to hate on them too much, but it was fine.
You make a good point, though, about the wrestling audiences and rap audiences, which we will talk about a little bit more later. But yeah, look, no Kendrick Lamar, right? I mean, B-Fab, I'm not going to critique B-Fab's vocals and all of that and her partial lip syncing, which was definitely happening. But I like that. What we're getting. I just feel like Russ, this whole crowd, actually, and we're going to talk more about like some of the matches, but their reactions were just a little off. I feel like, I think they've just been inside for too long.
How long have they been having full audiences at this point?
They haven't. This isn't even a full audience. This is like they had screens in the back, and then they have a few people in there.
Were you saying? Yeah, I was like, maybe the audience was in like pandemic shock. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do when I go to a concert or a public event for the first time. Like, I went to an Astros game a few weeks ago. It was like, okay, how does that? Do we cheer? Okay, was that a home run? Do we stand up? Do we sit down? You know, it's that those little. Like getting readjusted basically, they definitely could have benefited from like that virtual audience. Like, I think they would have had, maybe they could have, it would have been an even greater performance because they wouldn't have been feeding off of like the negative audience. They just would have been performing in their own element. But I will say first started the clip, I was like, a cipher. Okay, let's see how they do. Because if they're wrestlers, I was really impressed. I think because I went in with such low expectations, I was like, okay, we'll see what happens. But I was like, they're not bad at all. Like, imagine if there was another team who rap, like we could get a nice verses going on. I mean, I thought it was like the lyrics were great. It was easy listening. It didn't feel like a struggle. Like you said, because they're rappers, it's natural. Like that's what they do. So I wasn't as hard on them as Jason was.
Listen, my thought was, oh, they're good rappers for wrestlers. But then Mars already told me they're actual the rappers. Point. I was like, oh,
I mean, okay. Well,
no, they're not. But they like, are. Not
yeah, that's.
It's
what
not
I mean.
Like anyone was like, hey Matt, like go out and rap right yes, now. Like exactly. It wasn't that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. All right, yeah. Matt, go ahead. 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Vince McMahon needs to slide into my Venmo for me to.
They are actual musicians, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
so
they're not just black people.
They have rhythm.
Right. So what you're saying is we're not about to do a cipher.
No.
Okay, I have to throw my notes away. I was writing some lyrics. Okay, now we're on the same page.
Yes, we're all on the same page. This is, again, I know my place. So, no, we will not be doing a cipher here. Never. I love Brianna Brandy personally. I was following her before she came to WWE. And she's just so pretty. And I just love her lyrics. I loved her dance. Her dance moves. So,
She was dressed like she was at a Diddy White party.
Yes,
it's like good for her that
I
she
mean, that was her bar. Way. She said her braids are like snow, and you yeah. already know. Like,
yep, that's right. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. We appreciate that.
So yeah, I just appreciate something different on the TV because I mean
yeah.
It is representation. It connects to people like me, you know. And if we're targeting, if we're opening it up, and we're trying to get more eyes on the product, this can't hurt you. You know what I'm saying? Like this doesn't hurt your prospects of possibly bringing in more people. So
you know,
I loved it. It was very.
I have
fun.
A question. Like, because we were talking about this and joking, like, we're not going to be showing up doing a cipher on this podcast. But what would be our thing, like, as a group of four? Like, what would be our talent? Would we just go out and, like, do a podcast, like a live podcast as we walk to the ring?
Like, maybe play board games in the middle of the ring, something like that? Like, a good...
Play a game of Mafia in the ring?
We could dress up as the Among Us characters. And then we each have a different way to kill each other. And then we just show them, like, this is how you play Among Us. This is how you complete a task.
Talk about being booed.
We all just go out
like, yeah, on the mic.
And we sit crisscross and we just talk about the wrestling industry for about 2 hours.
Right. Will they like it coming from us, though?
No, they'll boo us.
They'll boo.
No, I feel like honestly,
okay.
I'm so sad I even asked this question. No one would want us, and now I feel I don't know if we'll make it through this episode, but it's okay.
Yeah, that didn't go how you thought it would.
It didn't. I thought we'd come up with something.
I thought you wanted to give like a mafia game about the other RHAB podcasters. Like I thought that's what you wanted, but no.
I think we should all have like carry a computer and a mic, and then we're. Like we have our headphones on and we're podcasting together, but not actually talking to each other in real time. It could be like it's kind of like a WeWork situation in my mind, you know, like all everyone right, in the same place, but in different places.
Oh, the audience would absolutely love that.
Right. Yeah,
is there a sitting at home type of anyways?
We need to keep moving.
We could do a cipher. Someone else just writes the lyrics. We could deliver it. Like I did a little rapping in my day in college. We would so as part of my sorority, we would advertise our events and stuff through YouTube videos. And so we would just
wait a minute.
I know it's out there.
That up for us. Someone dig that up for us.
It's out there. I don't think you can find it by my name. So good luck. Good. But I would usually do the raps.
So
you do.
I do.
You know people.
We'll find it.
Right. So yeah. So you know, it's easy delivery. If someone just gives you the raps, you just have to. You have natural rhythm, guys. Come on.
Listen, okay, I have no problem embarrassing myself. Give me the lyrics and I'll do it.
I love how you all like scratched your head and you're just been like, I don't know.
I'll do the cabbage patch in the background. Just like,
I can do like, yeah, what she said.
Get him.
Get him.
Oh my God.
Flavor, Matt.
You just have a big mic on your chain instead of a clock.
Or like a big clock with like Rob Sesternino's picture on it or something like that. We'll work on it.
Perfect.
So we did have some matches.
We did.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about wrestling, right? I forgot.
Wrestling, yes. Like
yeah. I thought this was Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Let's keep going. Shout out to Sasha.
So we had the NXT tag team title match. It was MSK versus Ciampa and Thatcher. Just a great, I mean, all of these matches, they're just, you know, they're good matches. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't, there's nothing really more to say about it. MSK, I thought that the best thing about it was MSK are, they're like risk takers, they're high flyers, they do crazy moves. You guys saw like one dude did a flip while the other dude pushed the dude on top of them. While Ciampa and Thatcher are more technical and grounded. So it was a great back and forth of Ciampa and Thatcher trying to keep them grounded and to try to keep the match pace not as fast, because MSK does great fast pace, but MSK retains their tag team titles here. This was a face versus face match. So, of course, at the end, we got them like respect is earned and all that stuff. So just a great exhibition match, really. Jason, anything?
So my thoughts were like, Thatcher is the tag team partner you want, because he was taking all the big hits and he was sacrificing his body. I was like, that's the guy you want to get in the ring with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was one, like you said, with high flying stunts and all that. I think this is a match that like he bent him over the ropes and they both fell down together. I was like, oh my gosh, I'd be dead after like the first thing. I don't understand how these people do this.
Right.
Yeah, MSK like ended with what they called the dreidel. I had to rewind that like 3 or 4 times because I was literally trying to figure out the mechanics. I was like, he literally was on the ground. How did he get this man who was standing above him? He like grabbed his arm. It was perfect. It was just beautiful. It was art. I was just like, I was so impressed. It killed me when Thatcher was so shocked after he was pinned down. Like, you get the 1, 2, 3, and then Thatcher got up, was like, what? Why are you so shocked? Like, we all saw, like, that was a clean count. Like, I don't think there was any foul play there. Why are you surprised?
So, exactly.
Yeah, it was a good match overall.
Yeah, and it was a great match. I mean, it was a really solid match, really hard hitting. And I think the thing that's so unfortunate is like, as hard as each of them was working in the match, those fans, they are very loyal to Tommaso Ciampa, who was in the match, and they were very much cheering him and just kind of pushing for him. And you see MSK like flipping all over the place, defying gravity, and the fans just didn't appreciate that.
Right. They were like bullying
him. It had nothing to do with MSK, Wesley, and Nash Carter. It had everything to do with the fact that they love Ciampa. So I hope that the fans start to come around more on MSK. They were already on MSK's side before. So this was kind of like a weird crowd. Lots of confusion, all of the confusion in the crowd.
Yeah. When you get face versus face matches, sometimes this is what you get. You know, hopefully you would want good reactions for both teams, but that audience wasn't for it. And I don't know, I'll probably get crap for saying this, but like I said, I didn't mind the Thunderdome era. I think it's way easier to tell a story when you can control the audience. I have been to several pay-per-views where audiences have hijacked shows. I was in the audience when they threw the ball and Cesaro went and beach like ball. The beach ball and ripped it. Like, I'm not really a big fan of audiences hijacking shows, and we'll definitely talk about that a little bit later. So, I mean, but other than that, this wasn't that bad. You know, they were just really, Ciampa is a megastar. He is a single star who is in a tag team right now. And Ciampa is one of my favorite NXT wrestlers. So I get it. I just was like, y'all see what's happening though? Like, this is like such a great match. MSK is like doing crazy stuff with their bodies. And it's just, it just kind of, kind of weird that it was just a very, very weird reaction.
Well, that's wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying out a catchphrase.
Yeah, I was like, is that a catchphrase?
It felt like one when it came to mind. So
whatever you want.
Yeah, but that's wrestling. That's wrestling. Like, we're not surprised that that happened. And, you know, it's fine. It didn't, like, really affect much of anything. Yeah. But that's wrestling.
I guess this is kind of like a sidebar question, but yeah. maybe if you say it enough, it'll stick. Say it at least 10 more times. But what makes NXT different than like Raw or SmackDown?
A
few things, but in short, like I would just say it's more of the developmental brand of wrestlers. So these are more of the up and coming wrestlers for the most part. There are some people who are more veteran wrestlers, and you could probably like Ciampa has been wrestling for a lot of people who are on the show have been wrestling for a long time, but it started as more of a developmental thing. Now they kind of have like a mix of some people who are newer, some who have a ton of experience. But I mean, like, the idea is that you're in NXT and then you're called up to the main roster to WWE Raw or SmackDown in some way. And it's also more of the wrestling, thought of as more of a wrestling product than the other shows. So that's where we get high quality wrestling, and we get some stories, but they're known for that. Mari, what else would you say about NXT? Yeah.
No, I agree. It's just, WWE is now trying to push NXT as like its third brand. Like, they're really trying to hammer that home. So as its third brand, like Matt said, it's just way more wrestling focused. It's just way more about the actual matches themselves. It's not too much storyline, even though they do a pretty good job of building stories, but it's about what you do in the ring, really. And it's still a WWE, you know, it's still a WWE product, but it just, if you guys watch the clips, you can definitely tell. I feel like you should be able to tell that it does have a different, like, kind of like an atmosphere.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a little dirtier, a little grungier, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So
is NXT supposed to be like next? Is that what's supposed to be? Like, these are the next superstars or something?
Jason, the NXT has over... that's why it's hard to explain it, because it started as something completely different like over a decade ago. It actually was like a talk show style wrestling,
maybe a variety show wheelbarrow races and stuff,
where they try to pick a winner. Like, they try to give, like, it was kind of like, I don't know if you guys saw Tough Enough, but it was kind of like where they wanted to try and pick a superstar, but they did it in weird ways. Like, NXT is just, it's grown. It started out mainly as their developmental product, and just be there to help get them in shape to go to the main roster. But now they have veterans from the indies signing there just to wrestle there. So it's a
lot. Yeah. It's kind of like the G League in basketball. Like, I'm a huge basketball fan. Go. So, like, okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Kobe
Bryant.
That doesn't understand.
And the things.
Yeah, those are all the current day players, Matt.
Yes, exactly, though. Asia. It's like the G League. Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they want you to say that, though. You know what I mean? I don't think they'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
We also got women's tag team title action where Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae are the champions, and they were defending against Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. Where do we start here? Shenanigans abound, because so it was a good match. Match was going, and then, you know, the lights turn off. Then we just see this battery power, like, on your iPhone pack, and it goes from like 90% to 100%. And all of a sudden, the lights come up, and Tegan Nox is standing there. So then Candice LeRae gets distracted enough for Indy Hartwell to get, like, beat up. And then Zoe Stark and Io Shirai win the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. Then Tegan Nox chases off Candice LeRae. Did I include this clip? Then Indy it was on Twitter. Then Indy Hartwell is like carried away. Carried away. What's it? Bodyguard style. Yeah. By Dexter Loomis. It was just a lot going on here. And I'm a little confused.
Could I just say, please? We have not been talking about this storyline, about the tag team, the way really like in season one, we didn't touch on, we maybe like brushed right past them. But I know this was like a really interesting group. Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, who we're seeing being carried, and Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory, who were not in this segment. But Dexter Loomis, for those who didn't know, was like stalking the way, and Austin Theory was traumatized. Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae were scared, and Indy Hartwell posted the thirstiest tweets about Dexter Loomis and wanting to be with him. It was like part of the storyline. So the fact that she's being carried away, good for you, Indy. Good for you. I'm happy for you. You deserve that.
Yeah, one of the reasons we didn't really talk about it is because it didn't seem like it was really canon. You know what I'm saying? Like at first, it just kind of seemed like it, like Indy and Loomis were just, they were trading like stuff back and forth. And I remember at one of the specials, Dexter Loomis drew a drawing of Indy. It's been very like kind of like low key, but then they've been playing it up a lot in the recent weeks with Indy sneaking off to go and be with Dexter Loomis. And so we finally are getting like a moment of them like legit on screen showing some affection. I don't know what Dexter Loomis's character is, except for being like really creepy, and he like draws things, and he's like,
a murderer.
He's like a face. That's what it feels like. It feels
he's
like
definitely he's Dexter. Yeah. He's Dexter. He's going down to like South Beach, Miami, if that's where that is, and murdering people and then putting their bodies in bags and throwing them into the water.
Exactly.
He named after Dexter. Don't be surprised when it's front page news.
And the doctor from Halloween. So it's just like, it's a very weird gimmick, but I love it. Indy Hartwell is so amazing. Like, she is so freaking funny. Her comedic timing is hilarious. Her and Candice LeRae have been really funny in the way. The way itself has been really funny. So this was pretty funny to see, but yeah, there's a lot of shenanigans. This is another belt change. Asia, tell us what you think about this while I check how many different champions they've had and how many days they've had it.
So I will start by saying, like, even when I was thinking back on my days, like actually watching wrestling, I was like, I could only think of one female wrestler. And so I love that it's almost like 50-50 with the amount of like female wrestlers who we're getting to see. So that's awesome. So I did enjoy this match. I thought the gimmick with the lights, I was like, oh shoot, they lost power. I was like, has it been raining there? Like it has been in Texas. Like what's happening? but then that entrance. So I thought, you know, what a way to enter a room. Like, imagine you walk in a room every time, all the lights shut out, so people are looking, and then you enter. I was like, okay, that was a very grand entrance. But I thought it was a really good match. Like, my main takeaways were the entrance, or was that one entrance. And I didn't really take away too many of, like, the moves, but I thought it was, I thought it was a good match, like, great, technically.
Yeah, and again, the match was much longer than the clip. Shows basically the end. Jason, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a regular match, not too many huge tricks. But then when Tegan Nox came in, is there a correlation between her and a battery? Like, what's that about?
So the reason why this I might sound confused and exasperated is because Tegan Nox has been injured. She's been injured for like over a year now. So when she came back, like, honestly, we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but I forgot that Candice LeRae was in the match that she got injured on. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, everyone like, what's going on? But then, you know, they make it very clear that now the commentators are like, oh, Candice put her career in jeopardy. You know, the battery was kind of just like, it's kind of in reference to, this was not the first time she's been gone over a year. This is probably like maybe at least the second injury, maybe the third injury that's taken Tegan Knox out for multiple months. So yeah. The whole, like, it's kind of like charging up. It's kind of like she's 100% now. Like, she's now 100% to come back to the ring. That's how I took it.
I don't remember why I wrote this, but I wrote down quotation marks. I said shiniest wizard. Someone said that at some point. Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah, the shiny wizard, it's a move. It's a move. It's like a kick move. And when she was on the indies, she was called the girl with the shiniest wizard because her kick looked very devastating, very hard hitting. We're going to talk a little bit more about Tegan Knox a little bit later, but she has not been able to do the things that she's done because, again, this is her second knee injury, I think it was, that has put her out for over a year. So if you saw, she had a brace on one leg, but she's torn, like, her Achilles, meniscus, whatever, in basically both of her knees. So she's really lost a step to me, but this is her first, we're just seeing her back in action now. But she was really good on the indies. She had the hardest kicks. Like, she was known for her kicks and how she executes her kicks. So we'll see how that goes with, you know, recovering from an injury.
Came in and beat ass when she came in that ring.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did. And I mean, I guess the thing I wonder, and maybe this is getting ahead a little bit, I'm not going to talk about SmackDown, but like, is she known for her personality in any way? Okay. Just didn't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, we're burying the lead in there because the titles changed hands to Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, who have only been a tag team for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And then this is the fourth, this is the third title change, but fourth tag team champions. And the belts have only been around since March. I just looked it up. The belts have been around for 4 months exactly to the day. So the first champions were given the belts. They were immediately beaten that night for the belts. So, yeah. And we talked about that in our last season. And then those champions were beat. It looks like they were champs. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart were champions for 55 days before they were beaten by The Way, who's Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. And then they were champions for 63 days before Io and Zoe won. But it just doesn't feel like, as I'm looking at the numbers, I'm like, okay, that's a little bit longer than I thought. But it honestly feels like they've just been, like, every title defense has been lost almost. Asia, what did you think of the clips?
Yeah, I thought that. Well, that I'm still sitting on that last fact that you said it's only been around since March. Like, that is like wild.
4 months ago. It was introduced on March 10th.
That is okay. That's actually really wild. So is it just that? Like, okay, is not there aren't weight classes, right? Like, so, like, what is it that's making it so hard to retain that belt? Is it just are these tag teams, like, not as established? Like, are there no, like, The Way? Are they just, I mean, aren't they a solid tag team?
They're a solid tag team. And that,
right.
Yeah. These are some really good questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
We wonder. Yeah, they're all solid. Like, there's not, I mean, the only answer to that question is just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm pretty sure I spoke about it on our initial, when this first happened, because I don't think that NXT women need a women's tag team belt.
You did.
Yeah. They just don't have enough. They don't have enough genuine tag teams, like you just asked, Asia.
Yeah.
And they don't have enough women to throw together to
meet that's personally. Fair.
So
the one thing I would say, sorry not to cut you off, the one positive or the one thing I could see here that just came to mind is that maybe they're, like, trying to build some people's resumes so that, like, when they're on the main roster, when they're doing anything, it's like, well, I was an NXT women's tag team champion, because they only had the one women's championship, which they're a lot more careful with who holds that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's for me why I don't think they should have won the tag champion. the tag belts because, or I'm sorry, they shouldn't have made the NXT women's tag belts because what you guys will see in the SmackDown clips, the there's a main roster women's tag team belts. And what used to happen was the main roster, when we say main roster, we mean SmackDown and Raw. Those belts can float. Like if you're the women's tag team champions, you can go on Raw, you can go on SmackDown. You used to be able to go on NXT and defend the belt. And that's what I think they should have done. They should have just, because technically Raw and SmackDown aren't really using those belts like that. You know, they weren't. So if they really wanted the NXT, some NXT women to have that belt or to at least put it on a resume or something like that, they should have just had them hold it for a little bit and then, you know, defend on the other brands. But I just don't see, there's not enough, there's just not enough women and there's not enough real tag team, women's tag teams, especially with WWE cutting a lot of the real women's tag teams or breaking them up for no reason. And so with NXT itself, it just doesn't make much sense to me. I really would have wished that they just did like a women's secondary title, like a women's intercontinental championship or something like that. I think that would have been way cooler to see, but I mean, at this point, it's just kind of like, it's just a lot happening. And I'm just like, okay, I guess. So EO and Zoe Stark are the new champions and we'll see where they go from here.
Yeah. And can we not bury the lead that Zoe Stark is like so built, like just 0% body fat.
Yeah.
Like she has biceps for days, an actual six pack. Just
exactly.
Wild.
Amazing.
Yeah. Right.
And but again, it's still kind of weird because even after the match, they kind of like pointed out, they're like, oh, you guys aren't even really a tag team. I'm like, why are we like making this even? I don't like that. I've never been a fan of when like makeshift tag teams take the belts personally.
Just make them wear the same color. That's all I want. Put them in clothes that match, and I could buy anyone as a tag.
You can pretend, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's like the bare minimum you could do.
Seriously, though.
Any last thoughts on this?
On those, yeah.
All right. So we got the $1 million title match here with Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight. So if you're going to have a ridiculous belt, this is the type of ridiculousness I kind of like. The $1 million championship belt, it's barely a real title, but I like that they're treating it like it is. I love that it's a gimmick title. It's like a title for somebody's gimmick. It's kind of like in comparison, like the King stuff that you guys saw on the SmackDown clips, like when you become King, that's now your new gimmick. And that's kind of what this $1 million belt is like. It's like when you're holding that $1 million belt, now you got to play a rich butthole, I guess. Yeah. LA Knight and Cameron Grimes initially fought for it. LA Knight won. LA Knight then attacked Ted DiBiase, the original creator of the $1 million title. Cameron Grimes wants to defend his honor and he wanted to take the belt off of LA Knight because LA Knight didn't deserve it. But then we got the stipulation that if Cameron Grimes loses, he will have to be LA Knight's butler. They told us this before the match last week. So I was on this podcast saying, okay, so LA Knight's going to win because normally if you have a stipulation where it only occurs to one person, like if, you know, if only one person is affected by it, that person's going to lose. And that's what's going to happen. But other than that, it was not too bad of a match. Asia, what did you think of this one?
Why did LA Knight hide the belt under the ring? Like, what was his goal?
Good question.
Remind me, did he hit him with it, right? Did he hit him with it before he hit it?
He body slammed him onto it, I think. It was just sitting on the floor, and he like body slammed him into it. And then he tucked
it under the ring.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a foreign object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did like a DDT, and if you're watching on YouTube, here it is.
There it is.
But he like DDT'd him head first into the championship, and he didn't want the ref to see, so he just kind of like brushed it aside.
Because if the ref sees it, he would get disqualified.
Okay,
yeah, it's technically a foreign object. You're not allowed to use titles. This is a straight one-on-one match, so no stipulations. So you're not allowed to, you're technically not allowed to use stuff. So that's why
he
did that. Yeah.
I feel like it'd be okay. I feel like you don't get disqualified that type of stuff. Mm.
Didn't you say you wanted the refs to enforce the rules, Jason?
I just want there to be a borderline. Are we following the rules or not? That's all I want. I'm okay with not following the rules.
Don't pick and choose.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
A stickler for the rules, Jason. Come on.
I am. I feel like one of them gave the other one a noogie in the middle of the fight. Like, he was like probably messing with his forehead. I was like, is that an actual move or is that like he's just messing with him?
Right. So the biggest takeaway from this match is Cameron Grimes is going to be LA Knight's butler. So we got to wait till next NXT to see that. And I'm excited. I love those with really weird, goofy gimmicks. So, I mean,
I'd love for that to flow into other professional sports. Like, if in the NBA, if we win the title, like, we gotta serve us food or something, like, courtside, like.
Yes, like, and then wins what is it, please?
Yeah.
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 Oh, my God.
Not anything.
Yeah. I just don't know why you'd want someone you don't let you're feuding with to be your butler.
Right.
That's my biggest
feeling. It's the feeling of power over them.
Power over them, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, what are they going to do? Like, if we look at an Eva Marie Doudrop situation, that's a great example where your intern is just not in. I mean, Doudrop is doing a pretty good job. She's semi-willing to be Eva Marie's protege / summer intern. But here, I just, like, you don't know what's going to end up in your coffee if he's your butler. You don't know if he's going to try to poison you. Like, yeah. This is the movie Clue or something like that. And so I'm a little nervous for LA.
I can see a scene where he comes out with like a serving tray. He takes like a pitcher off the tray and like hits him over the head with it or something.
That's right. Yeah.
I feel like that's a scene coming up in one of those feature shows.
I think so. I think you might be on the writing team.
Yeah.
He kind of writes himself a little bit. Yeah.
Or maybe he'll sit in a chair and make Cameron Grimes like go doggy style and put his legs up on it. Like it's just going to be some ridiculous style. Stuff. Well, I'm on all fours. All fours.
There we go.
It's not a type of podcast, Mari. It's
like, not that right. Well, all right. So, on to the next. Finally, we had Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly. And again, this is just your straight one-on-one death match. I said one-on-one death match. You know what I'm saying? Blood feud. Yeah. They just really hated each other. This time it was no stipulation, right? It was no stipulation, man. I know I'm not making that up. Okay, great. It was no stipulation. Yeah, they just hate each other. And Adam Cole wins. So, and they big this up as Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly 2, which means Kyle O'Reilly won the first one. Adam won the second one, which means we've got to get a rubber match at some point. So, I mean, it's a feud. It's a feud. It's not the feud for me, you know, but great work from the wrestler.
That Adam's hair, I couldn't get with it. It was so long and stringy. Mm-hmm. I was like, you got to go for a bun or something because... Oh, the dogs are going crazy. But yes, Adam was I couldn't get past that look. Because it's like it's different when you have like a thick head of hair and it's like wet. Okay, that's a look. But this is like straight up mullet, right?
Well, see, this is what they do for like all the men with the long hair. It's not just water. They put like conditioner in it too to make it look like that. Like they want that look.
Baby oil.
So that's the desired outcome.
That is.
See, that's even more troubling.
It is very thin, though.
If I come in a headlock, it's like my chest be greasy after that.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the listeners out there, check out the New Day podcast. The New Day talk about whenever they face the Usos, and the Usos will have the conditioner in the hair, and they talk about how it's slippery trying to corral them. That's exactly what it is. That's the desired outcome there.
That's Jason, hilarious.
I'm just laughing at the visual of you grabbing Adam Cole in a headlock.
I'm so distracted by like this grossness on my chest. I'm just like, he comes and like knocks me in the face. I'm just so disgusted.
Yeah,
but you guys talk about these guys that have a blood feud. Like they were really hitting some low blows on like on each other. I was like, oh my god, he's like your stupid wife. I was like, oh my gosh. I feel like I would be like, not, this isn't WWE anymore. I'm gonna really beat your ass now.
Yes. They were working very snug, very, very snug. Landing some real punches, it seemed like there. So they've been best friends, or at least friends, for years on the indies, like long time. They've been in NXT together for the past 4 years. They just turned on each other earlier this year, so that's why it's a blood feud, because you know, if we were best friends, now we're enemies type deal.
There's even a point in the match that was so dirty where I can't remember who was going after who, but they were going after the left knee. Like, he was hitting his left knee against the corner of the ring because his left knee was hurt.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's dirty.
Yeah.
I was questioning whether or not, I forgot which one it was. He was like holding his arm. I'm like, did he really hurt himself? Like, cause he seemed like he was really favoring that arm.
Yeah, they did, and again, they just do a really good job selling in these matches and stuff. Yeah. If you're ever wondering if something's like real, the ref after somebody takes some damage, the ref checks in on them, and if it's real, the ref will throw up an X. And more than likely, if it's real, they won't be on camera. So the camera people will try and stay away from them while they get checked out.
And you'll probably see the match, like, I mean, depending on what the injury is, right? You'll probably see the match like rush to an end or rush to the finish, right?
Yeah.
So they're just really good. It, like, this is the art of wrestling. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is wrestling, right, Matt?
Is that Mike? I feel like it's something.
That's wrestling.
I'm not gonna say that phrase after this week. I'm just writing that down so I don't.
I think you guys should change the name of the podcast to that.
That's wrestling.
That's wrestling.
But let's not do that. Exactly.
Scott St. Pierre, update the title.
So, and again, we got some good, like, just like promo stuff here, after these matches. Well, not after these matches, but next thing I want to talk about is Samoa Joe was named a special guest referee in the NXT title clash between Johnny Gargano and Karrion Kross. So this was just a promo, like the two people did promos. William Regal, the general manager, announced the match. And then, you know, they just kind of threw barbs at each other. I just want to get, Matt, what did you think about this first and foremost?
There's a lot that came up. So I thought that it was interesting that, I mean, and I guess this isn't strange, but like with Karrion Kross, who's the NXT champion, like we didn't see him out with Scarlett, who I feel like is the more entertaining part of their duo. Scarlett's his valet or manager and his wife. I was thinking to myself as I was watching this that like it would be cool to see like Candice LeRae with Johnny Gargano and then Scarlett with Karrion Kross. But like for what it was, I mean, this was a promo. You know, there was like, it was very straightforward. Like Gargano saying, you're not a great wrestler, I'm going to expose you. And then Kross is like, you're wearing your wife's pants. And I'm like, those pants look really comfortable. And so that was like my thought there. I did kind of feel like Karrion Kross is a little bit awkward. Like he mentions at one point that every morning when he wakes up, he next to his wife, he thinks about three things. Never losing the NXT championship, which it's like, okay, you could probably let that go at some point and move on to other things. Main eventing at WrestleMania, good, great goal. And then one day becoming WWE champion. No one in the ring seemed to believe that any of that was going to happen. I personally do not. So that's how I felt about that. I don't think we needed this promo, but it did set up the match that we're going to get with Samoa Joe as the guest referee and then Johnny Gargano taking on Karrion Kross. So this was, but oh man, I want Karrion Kross to get better before he gets called up to the main roster, which apparently will happen sometime pretty soon, if I had to guess.
Jason?
I like the Johnny Gargano guy. He was fun. He was a good, I guess you would call him a heel, I guess. There was talk of hitting him with a car, and he's like, no, you got in the way of my car. I was like, that seems a little weird, but okay. It was, like you said, Matt, the cross guy seems more like a regular, just kind of straight guy, and Gargano was like playing off of him. But I thought it was fun. So when you have a guest referee, like, what are the differences there? Like, does he do less or more than a regular referee? Like, assuming the referee does anything.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends, because
depends on what the story calls for.
Exactly. Because sometimes you might get like it just in theory. Like if there was a wrestling match between Mari and RHAP's one and only Chappelle, and I was guest referee, my move would be to super kick Chappelle and help Mari win. But Samoa Joe really is like very impartial. He's sticking to the rules. He is like William Regal's heavy in all of this. So I kind of see him just calling things down the middle. And if shenanigans go off, like if people are breaking the rules, then Joe will handle it. But it does depend on who the referee is. And then as Mari said, what the storyline calls for.
Exactly. I could honestly see Samoa Joe has shown a little bit of like not in an overt way, but it doesn't seem like he's particularly fond of Karrion Kross. So if I was booking this, my thought process would kind of be like, if Karrion Kross gets the pin on Johnny Gargano, like Samoa Joe counts to three, but is kind of reluctantly counting the three, not purposely. Like I'm purposely doing it, but kind of
just
like, yes, I can see that. But I agree with what Matt said. Right now, Samoa Joe is playing the perfect like middleman. He's like the enforcer for William Regal. So it could just be a straight match. I hope Samoa Joe puts somebody to sleep during this match. I don't care who, but normally the special guest referee is really supposed to not really do anything, but they normally do stuff.
Who is the English gentleman? Question.
That's William Regal. He's the GM of NXT. He makes all the matches. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And so he was kind of getting frustrated because nobody was like really listening to him. People would listen to him, but they would like, there was all these brawls that would just keep happening. Like they're brawling outside of the ring and stuff. So William Regal asked Samoa Joe to come on and, you know, help him, basically his enforcer to help, you know, that's why when Johnny left and Kross was trying to beat him up right then and there, Samoa Joe stepped in the way because it's like, just wait till your match, you know, chill.
I ain't crossing Samoa Joe, I'll tell you that much right now.
I'm telling you.
Right.
Asia, what did you think?
So I thought Johnny is like half of Karrion Kross's size. And so brings me to my point again, like, where is the weight class? Like, that's dangerous. Like he can really hurt him. And I just see like the strength that Karrion would have over him. Like, it could just get ugly. But hey, maybe is Gargano, like, is he really crafty?
He's a really good technical wrestler. That's what Karrion was referring to when he's like, you think you're gonna put me into all these holds, but in real life, guys like me beat guys like you type joint. Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting because, the very different approaches they would probably have.
Yeah. And Johnny Gargano is technically the face in this match.
He has the heel tendencies still.
He's a tweener. He's a tweener.
Mm-hmm. As a side note, I don't actually think that Karrion Kross tried to run Johnny Gargano over in that clip we were talking about last week. It was weird because like the title of the clip on YouTube was like Karrion Kross tries to run over Johnny Gargano, but like he just got in his car and drove off Johnny Gargano.
So
this whole thing is strange to me. I just need someone to tell me what's actually the truth.
Exactly. And I'm still like, at least to me, Karrion Kross is a bad guy. And as I said, I was like, wait, is he supposed to be the good guy? I don't like him.
He's so supposed to be the bad guy. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, great. Because
I hope.
We'll see. And just finally, don't even really have to talk much about this. They introduced the breakout stars for the NXT tournament. The wrestlers who will be competing in the 2021 NXT breakout tournament. The last time NXT had a breakout tournament, it was in 2019. And a lot of those people are currently like champions or still in NXT doing really good things. So this should be a good little tournament to introduce these people to us, because unlike the last breakout tournament, I knew like half of the people. This one, I don't know nobody. Like, I don't know none of these people, which is kind of surprising, because they normally have like a lot of like indie wrestlers. But then again, I'm not going to sit here and say I know all the indie promotions or anything like that. So I'm not really familiar with some of these people. I tried to like Google some of them, but I didn't. Yeah, I tried, but I didn't get much. I think Carmelo Hayes. Right. Yeah. I think Carmelo Hayes in the second dude, he's, I think, homegrown with WWE, but I'm not sure. So anyways, nothing to report here on that until we actually see the tournament.
Yeah.
My thought on this is like, this is like a character select screen from like a Street Fighter or a Tekken. Exactly, like, yeah. We went through all the people, like the little stats. I was like, oh, I'll pick this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, my money would be on the 6'5", 405 pound guy. Like that.
Right.
Like those stats, what?
Odyssey Jones, and they said Odyssey that he's Jones, possibly the quickest, which I'm like, yeah, I have a hard time believing that, but I would love to see it.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I've heard of Joe Gacy, in passing because of the indies, probably. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I was just, like, I watched this clip so many times because I was like, who am I looking out for? And there's this guy all the way in the back, Josh Briggs, who's 6'8", 290 from Nothing, Arizona, which I don't know if that's a real place, but he looked very uncomfortable. And I just, I love it. I love a good awkward moment. So I want to see what he's up to. And then, Jason, I think you were referencing Ikemen Juro, who's 5'9", 195 from Tokyo. Yeah, in cool. Yeah. I mean, I think I would hope that we'll see him around for a while. How the nerve to wear a suit like that. Like, he looks like a lava lamp. And I love it. And he has great hair. And it's
Cosmo vibes.
Solar system or something.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at that. Yeah, he's the Neil deGrasse Tyson of WWE NXT. Or he might be.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for our NXT clips. Again, they can be found in the description boxes. We'll be right back with AEW.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so on to our second wrestling special of the week. AEW presented Road Rager, which they presented right before, I think Fighter Fest is definitely next week. So I don't know. I guess all of the episodes are special. If all of the episodes are special, then none of them are. But
they did something like, as a side note, they did something like this either last year or the year before, where it was like, literally a year ago, it was this time of like July, where they had like three things within a few weeks of each other. So I don't know what that's about. But
yeah, I think it was like more to commemorate that they're back on the road. Like, this is the they're out of their they didn't have a Thunderdome. They had like just a small arena, really. And so now they're back on the road. I think they're in Miami, Florida in this one. Was it Miami? Something like that. But I think it was just more to commemorate that. And it just kind of makes me think of like, wasn't TNA doing that thing where they were doing like, they had pay-per-views like once a week at one point. Then like 1 year they did something like that. But anyways, Road Rage was pretty good. I mean, it was really good. It's AEW. There wasn't really too many things that I was like, really, guys? So let's just get into it. The first thing we're going to talk about is the match with the young Bucks with Brandon Cutler versus, Brandon Cutler is on the outside, Penta and Eddie Kingston. That was a shit show, y'all. I was confused. I was like, wait a minute. Like, what? I had to remind myself that it was a street fight because at first I was just like, what is happening? There's just so much stuff going on. And
are those common street fights? Or they do like one on occasion?
Common enough.
Exactly. Like, okay. Because it was wild.
What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Like what? Yeah, street fight. Street fight, it's same as like a hardcore match or no. Like literally there's a type of match that has like five different names and it's either a hardcore match, a street fight, no disqualification DQ. Match, mm-hmm. probably no holds barred.
Yes.
Probably
unsanctioned matches.
Unsanctioned matches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
The first thing you guys showed us, I was like, what happened before this? Because there was just like a whole bunch of stuff in the ring, like streamers. And like, I was like, what happened before this?
That was literally their entrance. Like in the Young Bucks having the streamers shot off. Also, like during this match, it was mentioned a few times that the Young Bucks, who definitely were like going for, they were mocking Eddie Kingston, but it was like they were going for like a quote unquote street vibe. And like Eddie Kingston, I don't know. They just kept pointing out how they were from Rancho Cucamonga, which the only other person I can think of from Rancho Cucamonga, at least off the top of my head, is Becky Buckwild from Flavor of Love. And that's exactly the vibe that they were putting out there. So shout out to Becky. You can come on the podcast too with Coral.
Very unfortunate antics that I personally don't relate to, but the match itself was just interesting. At one point, it was like, that's later on. It was like so many people just interfering. I'm looking at the names and I don't even know who.
No, there was like a moment. So Brandon Cutler is the guy who had. He had like the spray bottles and he
sprayed
it off. I was like, what is that?
And then what's it? Kazarian ran in and was like ran off with Anderson and Gallows or like the club, whatever their deal the club, is.
Yeah.
And so
the Good Brothers.
There were just the Good Brothers. There were a lot of people who kind of just, I mean, honestly, I was like, okay, noted that they were there. And then like, it was so irrelevant, too.
It was so weird. And I was so confused at the guys, the spray painting. And then Kaz had his face covered. And then he put him into but the commentary was like, oh, that's Frankie Kazarian. I'm like, is it? And then Kaz did the reveal with the hoodie, and that's when the audience was like, yes. I was like, wait, so was that supposed to be a surprise? Did they call that too early? I think the announcers messed up and called it too early because we still couldn't tell who it was. And I just assumed they knew who it was and it was supposed to be assumed. But then when he did his reveal, it was like, oh, it was a reveal. So we should have known before he did the reveal. It was all over the place.
Like AEW does love to just like throw in everybody. It just like they're just throwing the kitchen sink at us. So
And then the thumbtacks came out and I was like, oh my.
That was wild, actually. Like the whole sequence with that was for me where I was like, ooh. what is about to happen. So I think it was Eddie Kingston who poured out the thumbtacks, but he was the one who didn't end up like...
Well, they use it against him, so like that really backfired. I mean,
He did end up dealing with the thumbtacks in his own way, but... Like, just to recap it, because I was like, I need to play by play on these thumbtacks. Nick Jackson, who's one of the Young Bucks, did a springboard like Hurricane Rana or Frankensteiner, like a like head scissors down to, I think, L0. Madness. It was madness and chaos and all of it. But like, why did he have to have thumbtacks put in his mouth?
Right.
It's like literally the angle, the camera angle didn't show it, but he had thumbtacks placed in his mouth.
What's the magic trick behind this? Because I gotta assume, like,
I don't know.
This is not real. Me and my husband was talking about this because, like, they took thumbtacks, kept throwing it in people's faces, which was kind of cool. That was the first time I think I've seen that. I don't think I've seen that too many times. No. But then they did do the drop on, Eddie Kingston got the drop onto the thumbtacks, and then that's how they counted them. And then, but if you know, I don't think they weren't real thumbtacks. Like, they weren't they're metal thumbtacks. Well, yeah, but they, you know, they're not like.
Well, they had a close up on them, and I was like, that is real. I was like, those look real because they're close up on them.
Honestly, okay, so they do thumbtacks in a lot of different ways in wrestling, I think. Right. The one way that I've heard about is, like, they'll basically, like, chop down the thumbtacks so they're not as sharp.
Pointy?
Still, like, so they don't have the point. So, like, if you land in it, it will still be on you / in your skin. But I don't think...
These weren't.
Hold on.
That's what I was trying to say, because, like, I think these were the thumbtacks that are made out of like hollow, like aluminum or something like that. So when you land on them, they kind of fold so that it's not like they don't stay pointy and sharp and stuff like that. So they're able to like do all that stuff on them. They weren't in there. If you look at the picture, when they came up, the thumbtacks were not in their body.
Nobody was bleeding or anything.
Nobody was
bleeding. Yeah. In his mouth. Like, you can't just put things in someone's mouth in a restaurant.
Especially during a pandemic.
Thank you. Yes.
We're in a Panera, people.
We're talking about how they landed on them, because this was not Randy Orton thumbtacks bleeding.
Like, look at those thumbtacks in his mouth.
And there's a point all of them right there. I can see it.
They're in there.
Are they, though? Because they look like they're in his hand.
Look, they were getting in the mouth, Mari. You have to sell for these wrestlers.
I don't know. It was fine, though. Okay. Like, I know, like, I was like,
well, I know they are, but it's like, how? Like,
but it was creative. It was really creative. And I have questions. I have questions about
it. We all have questions.
Did it.
Yeah. What are your questions?
Right.
I mean, they're all the same.
Multitude. It was funny that I was like, I specifically noticed the ref in this match because I was like, oh, he's really into it. Like, he was laid out on the ground looking at the specifics, even though it was a street fight. It seemed like anything was fair game. Yeah. But then, what was it? Nick Jackson landed on the ref. Yeah. And then when they finally needed a ref came out of nowhere like, oh, yeah, we have a ref. And they jump in the ring. I was just like, yeah, exactly. You should have came in right when he went out. So I just thought the whole thing was wild. And then just the thumbtacks just completely just threw me off. And I've had all the same questions. Where was the point? What are they made out of? Why are we picking things up and putting them in people's mouths? And then even when people, when they landed on the thumbtacks and they got up and they're just like, you know, ow, I would expect if they were real thumbtacks, they would be in their bag.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, good for them for trying to sell the thumbtacks, but I'm like, dog, there's no thumbtacks on you. I can see. I'm looking at it. So
can we go back to the spray painter? Is he a previous character? Is there a gimmick there? What is that
Jason,
about?
To be quite honest, I watch AEW, but I don't know.
He's done it before. And it's the thing where he like sprays the wrong people in the face. And so that's like one thing that I would just say, which is that, look, he goes with the flow. He likes to, I don't know why he tries to spray people, because it's like, it's not even effective. It's not even close. I have lots of issues with this.
I do kind of want to know what he's spraying, because they have to rig that for you to be able to see that spray so clearly on the camera. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe like, it's
a technical aspect there. I kind of like, well, what is he spraying for it to get that like really nice resolution on the camera, you know?
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about the mechanics.
You can never stop spraying it either. It's just it's questionable. Yeah. No, this is good.
Questions for the producers.
Right, yes. Exactly.
We'll bring them on.
We get a South Beach strap match, Cody Rhodes versus QT Marshall. And this is like a legit strap match. Like, you're strapped together. The goal is you have to hit all four turnbuckles in order to win. It's no pins, no nothing like that, which is like, kudos to AEW for going back to like the roots of these actual type of matches, strap matches, because sometimes strap matches can just be, you guys are tied together by a strap and then we're going to beat each other. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So this was a good, thought process here. QT Marshall doesn't really do much for me. Cody Rhodes is, I appreciate that he seems to be kind of like the mid card star maker. He tries to get as many people over, even when he's like beating them. A lot of people call him, like, they say he borderlines on Triple H. But I liked it.
No.
Yeah, he borderlines on like Power Trip Triple H. Yeah.
No, and that's the thing that's ridiculous about that, because I also see a Triple H comparison because it's so obvious, except I feel like the difference is that Cody is taking on these, like, he's not taking on and beating main eventers in any way. He's taking on these people, right, who were like QT Marshall, what? Like,
right.
You know, and so I think it's good that he's able to have these matches that are pay-per-view, maybe even main event quality, or at least like, you know, going that direction when these people like QT Marshall and like even in his last AEW Double or Nothing match, like Anthony, taking on these people who need to be built up is probably a good thing. And I like that he has a role that doesn't involve the main event, because there are enough stars in the main event, and he's still a big deal, but he's like pulling people up there with him, which I think is awesome. And Cody Rhodes is such an incredible talent in the ring. Like, the fact that he could even like take all of that punishment and all of that stuff, I think is just so, so powerful. And wow, they use the strap. They used the strap a lot in this match.
If you came from a certain type of childhood, this match was very triggering for you. I was like, oh my. Like, you're telling me he went that strap. I was like, oh.
Yeah, they should have. It's hard. It's tough too, because like my strategy, if I was in this match going back to my childhood, would be to like run out of there, get out.
I would have hit the straps before the match. That's what there I would. That was my strategy.
Yeah, I didn't understand how they were going so slow, like tapping each corner. It was like, you have to tap all four to win. Like, why are you slowly?
Listen, Andrew, they, you see all that work they were putting in? They were tired. I'd be walking too.
But I also, the strap was quite long. It was like, I didn't like that. I was like, they could easily, I mean, this is not. That strap was way long enough for your opponent to not even have to be down for you to just run around and hit those turnbuckles. But again, you know, the magic of storytelling, especially the last time QT Marshall tried to do his
Marshall. This is a weird pronunciation to his name, by the way.
Really?
Is that what he says?
Marshall.
Well, sure. The last time he tried to go to that last turnbuckle, he literally was doing it to himself. He had the strap like clustered in his hand, and Cody was like this. I'm like, if he literally just let go of the rest of that strap, he couldn't.
Yeah.
I was like, man, but it was funny. It was fine.
Anthony, is that a natural blonde on Cody?
I said Anthony, QT. No.
Okay.
No. But he dyes it like that in honor of his father, Dusty Rhodes.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't need to have his hair dyed like that. I've gotten used to it at this point, but
I like it.
It's a look.
I do.
It's more of a highlighter tip feel to me.
Yeah. Yeah. A little spotty, but I like it. I like the blonde on him. It gives him a little bit of edge.
Well, I thought it was rather inventive how they were using the strap. Like the QT Marshall had like Cody like tied up in it, had him on top of
the ropes. That was
scary. That was really fun. I was like, what are you going to do?
Like,
Yeah. Very inventive. I love gimmick matches, especially like old school gimmick matches. That's not just a street fight or no DQ. So this was really good. I liked it. I did enjoy it. Yeah. Next, we had a regular match of Andrade El Idolo versus Matt Sydal. Not much to really talk about here. Just Andrade got the win, as he should. For a little background, you guys, Andrade is Charlotte Flair's fiance.
Oh,
and he was in the WWE earlier this year. He was just in the WWE in March. I think he got let go in April.
Well, and no. He got let go a month ago, really. He was there in May. Oh, wait, you're thinking of Andrade. I'm thinking of
Andrade, yeah.
Oh my God!
Oh, yeah, no, not that one yet. We're not.
Let me tell you. Well, wait. Spoiler alert: there are a few people who were released very recently who were on this show, and also spouses of women in WWE. But we'll get to that. But yes, you're right, Mari. We'll get to the other person in a second.
Yes, exactly. So Andrade was doing very well on WWE. I just realized something, but his manager got let go. Zelina Vega was let go.
Oh my God.
Yes, exactly. I just realized that too.
What is going on? Yeah, okay, wait. Do we have a whiteboard to like diagram of the relationship? We should come back to that.
No, I think you broke Matt.
Right.
we're both broken. We want to talk about it so bad.
I feel like,
stick a pin in that. Broken. So we just confused the heck out of our guests. I know. Broken Matt Scott. But yeah, so just a straight one-on-one match. Andrade El Idolo took the win in his debut, which happened. That's what happened. So we're moving on to the Inner Circle, which is Santana Ortiz and Jake Hager versus the Pinnacle, which was Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, and Wardlow. This is a 6-man tag match. And then there's like Conan was on the Inner Circle side and Tully Blanchard was on the Inner Circle side. And again, we've seen them do this sort of variation a few times. So it was just a great 6-man match, a lot of hard hitting moments. The Inner Circle is supposed to be the good guys, but I am Pinnacle all the way. I really like the Pinnacle. I love Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, formerly known as The Revival, currently known as FTR in AEW. So, guys, Asia, what did you think? What was your thought process watching this clip?
I love seeing a female ref again, because I think we saw one in an earlier match. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would have loved to see some stats on these guys because they were huge. I was like, I would have just loved to see. Okay. 6'5", this sounds. But other than that, it was a lot of people involved since you said 3v3.
Yeah, 3v3.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, the Pinnacle came out on top. But I was like, man, I just think about thinking of their size. I think about how athletic they have to be just doing all these moves, flying, jumping off of things, mm-hmm. and just with such finesse. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, for like 30 minutes too. Like these matches are not short as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely. Asia, are you into UFC? Is that?
I'm not. I do watch boxing.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, like awesome. I've traveled to LA like with the Mayweather Pacquiao fight. And then this guy went to high school, actually, with Errol Spence Jr. Mm-hmm. He went to my high school. And so, yeah, I keep up with boxing. But wow. I bet I would like UFC if I kept up with it. I just haven't taken the time.
I do not. I am only here for the fake wrestling. I don't like to watch people actually beat each other up.
Actually get hurt.
Yeah, I'm here. Jason, how about you?
For UFC or for the match?
No, for the match. Wrestling match.
So, you know, the MVP for this one, Jake Hager, like, you know, if I remember your name after I watch these clips, like, I'm impressed by you. Like, he took on those three guys pretty much by himself at one point. But yeah, it was a fun match. I like the extracurriculars at the end with the old guys fighting each other. Like,
extracurriculars? I was like, oh my God. Like,
this old black man came and beat somebody with like some oranges in a sock or something. I wasn't sure what was happening. Again, we're going back to like, you know, savage beatings from, you know, I don't know, but it was weird. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Yes. Really, really weird. Conan came in with, yes, it looks like a sack of garlic if you're looking at the picture. You know?
Yeah.
Just weird. Trying to hit Tully Blanchard, the OG, came and took out his knee, and I was really like, I thought Tully was gonna get hurt doing it. I thought Conan was gonna lose a knee. I was like, y'all need to stop playing. So really funny.
Seriously.
Watching like old people fall over is like,
yeah, but also watching old people in
like in slow motion, they fall in slow motion.
We found Mari's secret dark obsession. Like,
right.
I
enjoy
watching old people get hurt. I get it from my husband, I'm not gonna lie. I just threw him under the
bus. You like to watch old people fall over.
No, it just happens. When they do, it's always just like slow motion. Like, oh my God.
Well, God, I hate to be around when an old person falls and Mari's around just like giggling, like, right. Are you serious? Exactly. Stop it.
And then he broke his knee. The worst like, part is we all just start laughing.
Because Mari's right. Laughing, like, we're sorry. My hip. Serious.
We hope that Conan and Tully Blanchard are okay after that action. Yes.
Yes. Disclaimer from the Wrestling Rehab podcast, we do not support old people getting hurt.
We do support people of...
Use of Mari, do not reflect the views of everybody on the podcast.
Yeah. Yes, it's like a disclaimer for like the BB Live feeds. You're going to have one from now on.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay.
Turn those on. We've been away from them for too long.
I know.
This is going to become a BB Live feed update podcast.
Let's not.
We've got to move on. At this point.
Right? We do. We got to move on backstage.
We have Taryn.
What can you do? Taryn is
huge wrestling fan.
Right.
So we get Chris Jericho and MJF facing off to sign this weird contract. But before that, let's talk about the there's an audience member who ran in. tried to get into the ring. He got beat up badly and then taken out. Mm-hmm. What about saying that?
Well, Chris Jericho has a history of hitting fans, and he likes to beat people. He likes to beat people up.
Well,
he didn't make contact. He didn't make contact.
That's true.
There was an incident. I don't know. Look, we're not. It's fine. It's on the internet and everything. And there's probably a video of Chris Jericho like punching, I think when he was in WWE, punching this like fan who was trying to like reach into his car when he was leaving a WWE event. And it was not a good look. But I was seeing that like, please, Jericho, do not hit this person on TV. Like, just don't do it. This is 2021. You can't get away with hitting people who are not wrestlers on a wrestling show.
Exactly. Ooh.
But yeah, that was a weird moment.
Yeah, exactly. And the fan went online to like brag about it. And
of course,
again, the comments didn't go the way you thought they were going to go because. He's getting ate up on Twitter. And then I think they're saying he might get a lifetime ban from AEW. This is why I'm like, as somebody who's been in multiple wrestling crowds, this is why I'm just like, I don't know if I'm ready for it to come back because the entitlement in some of these crowds is insane to me. Like, why would you think you could just do that? He hopped the gate and tried to run into the ring. But anyways,
so, it never works. It never works out. Like, either someone ends up getting beat up by wrestlers, or they end up getting beat up by security.
Yeah, multiple.
So what's the point?
And what is works? Like, what is your... Like, what do we mean by works? You hop the
right, the and then like, it never
in the ring. Ring. Like, what? You know, what's your goal? You make you it in the ring. Like, no one stops you.
Right. You like, is it just to get a handshake? Is it to get a hug? A picture?
A contract?
Are you getting booked? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, or a match? Yeah, full on match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't.
And then they politely lead them back to their seat.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Politely lead them back to their seat and pretend like nothing happened.
Right.
So, yeah. So then we get Jericho and MJF going back and forth. Two men who are really good on the mic. Jericho basically saying he was going to do things to MJF's mother. The crowd again was getting loud, you know. But at the end here, we had MJF tell Chris Jericho that he's gonna have to, he started talking about Greek mythology and stuff like that. Okay, I'm a Greek mythology nerd, love it. But he's talking about the trials of the labors of Hercules and said that Chris Jericho is gonna have to go through four other people with four different stipulations. And then after that, if he makes it through that, he gets the pleasure of facing MJF. And then Jericho says some stuff and then he signs it. He's like, I'll go through your labors and stuff like that. Okay, so again, Jericho is supposed to be the face here. MJF is the heel. Huh. Jericho is the leader of the Inner Circle. And MJF is the leader of Pinnacle. Again, I am Pinnacle all day. I really like MJF. I think he is a future star. If, you know, star. He's just so young. He's like 23 or 24 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But my big... Yeah, baby. My biggest gripe with this is why? Like, why? I love this. I think they were listening to us, Matt, because just last week I was talking I love best of seven series. Like a best of seven series, I like those. But if you're going to do a best of seven series, each match should have a different stipulation. So you feel, you know, so this is what they're doing. But I don't want to watch Chris Jericho do this. Is it just me? Like,
I don't think that I feel like this might. I mean, I don't know, but I'm imagining, like, is this one match a week that he's going to have with those people who he needs to face to get through to MJF? And then, like, obviously he's going to win. So maybe, like, is this going to be a gauntlet match or something? Just get it over with or don't do it at all.
Yeah, well, they should have did maybe two instead of four.
You know? So or just, like, do it, like, just 10 minutes. Like, have him beat four people and then earn the match.
Yeah. It's like, we got to sit through four matches where we basically already know the outcome for. Like, not basically. We know the outcome. You know, Chris Jericho's going to win it. My biggest gripe is it's Chris Jericho. Like, this would have been great for the Sammy Guevara MJF feud, I feel like, because that could have really made Sammy, if he had to go through four other people to get to MJF, you know, I would have liked that. Maybe just a younger star in general. Like, this does feel like a program that can build a younger star. Chris Jericho is clearly already a star. He's clearly already over and he's old. So it's just kind of like, what is the real point of this other than to, like, I don't know. Jason, what did you think?
I thought it was hilarious. Like, when you have a conference table in the middle of the ring, you know something's going to be ridiculous. So I was like, okay, first of all, that's weird. Yeah. They have MJF in the scarf, so we're supposed to hate him, I guess. Chris Jericho's old and a little bit looking out of shape, I thought. Yeah, at the end, he's like, you must shake my hand. I was like, okay, so don't shake his hand because he's playing something. That's bad. But then it ended up where Jericho was the one that bumped him in the shoulder, which knocked him out.
This move, the Judas effect, with, like, the back. He did, like, a back elbow on MJF.
I thought it was kind of like he bumped his shoulder.
That's what actually happened.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, why that happened? But all right. Yeah, it was fine. MJF called Florida a dumpster fire, which was interesting.
as they yeah. in Florida.
Kind of right, I mean, but okay.
I mean, so yeah, it was good. There was just two people on the mic who can be on the mic. It was really good. This labors thing, I'm not sure, like, they're going to really have to try and get me invested in this, just because, like, I don't know. And is it just going to be the members of Pinnacle? Like, you know, Jericho having to go up against each member, which probably. That's right. That's
is MJF a good wrestler, though? Because, I mean, just looking at these two guys, I'm like, I think Jericho's probably going to beat MJF, but I don't know anything about either of those guys. So
no, MJF is a really good wrestler. And like we said, he's very young, so
he's quick.
A lot of upside. Yeah.
He has good limbs. His brain's still developing. I don't know what
other things. His bones are solid.
His bones are solid. He could probably drink a lot and not have hangovers.
Does he use a scarf illegally in his matches?
Probably. No, I mean, he doesn't. It's funny because Chris Jericho was like a big scarf person at one point, so maybe he like gifted his scarf to MJF. I'm just glad that MJF was the one that was knocked over, because if it was Chris Jericho, Mari would have been laughing at him old with his nip on the ground. So
thanks, rightfully so.
Yeah.
All right. So finally, let's get into what just kind of blew me and Matt's brains. So,
hold on. While you work on that, I'm gonna try to process this, because it's wild that we haven't even realized this until now,
until this exact moment.
Yeah.
So, Malakai Black made his AEW debut. Malakai Black, formerly Tommy End, formerly Aleister Black. He was just on WWE TV as Aleister Black. He was cut in May. Like, he was just cut. And when he was cut, it was just out of nowhere. They were just like starting to get his character back on TV. So when he got cut, people were very sad. I was very sad. I'm like, it really sucked. But now he's here on AEW. He made this debut. He kind of teased it a little bit on his Instagram earlier that day. He put out a little vignette of him in like a, I don't know, like a mental institution and hearing voices. And it's pretty good. You know, you can go check it out at his Instagram. It's pretty cool. But he set it up for him to come back. He's going to be clearly facing Cody. And again, Cody is really good at doing these debuts and kind of lifting people up. What just confused the heck out of us is that Aleister Black is married to Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega just made her debut. She just came back to WWE last week. She was the one who was fired back in November of last year. But she came back last week. When she was fired, she was the manager of Andrade El Idolo,
Andrade.
Who just made his match debut in AEW, was what we were talking about, right? So people, when he popped up, people thought maybe Zelina would go and follow him. She didn't. She showed up back up in WWE. Aleister Black, aka Malakai Black, is now in AEW. And then Charlotte Flair is also in WWE. And she's going to get married to Andrade. So in these two couples who worked very closely together when they were all in WWE, now they're split, and the men are on AEW and the women are down WWE. So it's crazy. And we didn't
even mean with all the numbers that are floating in air.
Right. Like, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. Cause I was like, wait a minute.
I did just try to like draw a diagram of everything you just explained, Mari, I couldn't do it. So
okay. I was about to say, please share your screen.
No, yeah, that would have been a mess. I tried. So, but the thing that like is also wild is that, so you mentioned Zelina being released. She just returned last week to SmackDown, like you were saying. Apparently, though, before that, WWE, I don't know, I'm not in any meetings, but what I read was that they met to like, we'll call him Malakai Black. That's his new name. Zelina and Malakai Black, formerly Aleister Black, aka Tommy End, he was in that meeting. So there were thoughts of him coming back to WWE. And so this is really strange. And I almost feel like it's probably really awkward for Zelina over in WWE now, just because of this, like, probably pretty unexpected debut for WWE, because it was strange that they released him. Oh, the other aspect of this is they normally have 90 day no compete clauses, but they didn't. They messed up something with
his paperwork.
Aleister, Malachi, Tommy's, whatever you want to call him, his paperwork. Yeah. So he only had 30 days. So it's wild. Contracts are confusing. Jobs are confusing. Companies are confusing. But
Asia,
I think
what
that
do you
captures
think?
It. This is a lot.
Yeah, that is so wild. Yeah, because I was wondering, I was wondering what his story was, because they made his debut. It seemed like a big deal. And so this was another lights cut situation, and they were like, oh, there's bad weather in South Florida. and so I thought, that was interesting. But the fact that the women are in WWE and the men are in AEW, does that mean that, like, the women are more mainstream than the guys?
That definitely means WWE has, like, the better women's division. Like, no shade to any of the AEW women, because some of my favorite AEW women wrestlers, well, some of the ones I like, are there. But just hands down, WWE do have, I've said it on the podcast, I think they have the best women wrestlers in the world in WWE.
Gotcha.
But that's just my personal thought.
But also Charlotte, who's married to Andrade, was by far, like, a bigger star than Andrade when they were in WWE. And
exactly.
Zelina.
They're both kind of...
People loved her for, like, her skills on the mic and, you know, her moments, but they didn't, like, Zelina didn't really get over too much. And, you know, Aleister was loved too, but...
Yeah.
But they're definitely more mainstream now.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, that makes sense.
Jason?
Do we know what's going on with his eye? Like, what's the story there?
What?
He's supposed to be, like, possessed or something? That's what I saw. That's what made it seem
that
like.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. That's what he hears, like, voices, and it's like, I think he takes the names are like demons. We'll get back to you on that, because none of this is canon. It's, you know, until it's on TV. So the vignette that he did on Instagram was just basically like him hearing voices and then him changing and possession. So we'll see. The name of his vignette was, The Devil Made Me Do It. So possession.
Okay. Yeah, he beat up the old guy, which I'm sure Mari was extremely pleased by.
Funny.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, Asia pretty much covered everything else. It was a interesting segment.
Cool. Yeah. Can't wait to see what he does on AEW, especially with AEW has more creative freedom for the wrestlers. So it'll be cool to see if they, like, let his... his vision for the character really take hold.
We'll see.
What was supposed to be the point of what was supposed to be going on there? Because it starts out with, like, this guy talking to the older gentleman. Like, what was supposed to be happening? Yeah,
they were basically, like, congratulating Tully and Cody for the win earlier in the night. Like, it was like, there was no point, to be quite honest. There was honestly no point.
There was nonsense to set up what was going to happen, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Terry was talking to Tully, like, oh, you guys got, you know, you did a good job. Cody won. I think one of the other, like, Nightmare Family people won at some point in the night, too. I forget. So he was just doing an interview with Tully, and then Cody was out there just, you know, listening to Tully's kind of like his manager. What for boxers, Asia? His sweat man or something like that? I don't know.
Oh, like his court. It was usually their coach.
So it wasn't much going on. It was meant to be interrupted.
Shenanigans.
All right.
By the way, the one other thing I would just like.
Oh, yeah. That's wrestling, right? We want to make it a thing.
That's
right,
wrestling. The one other thing I would just mention, the match that that wasn't on that wasn't, there's no clips on YouTube of it, but Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander beat the Blade and the Bunny, and there's not much to write home about that. That's a whole other match. Good things happened, but I don't think there's anything else to say about AEW. Just wanted to drop that in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're just going to quickly run through SmackDown. We'll probably talk more about it next week, since next week for SmackDown will be the go-home show for Money in the Bank. It seems like they're still kind of doing this, like the SmackDown is not only like the go-away show, but like kind of like the kickoff type of show for their big pay-per-view. So we'll just touch on some of the big things that happened last night. And the biggest is they announced that Bayley was injured. So earlier in the day, we got a tweet from WWE saying Bayley was training for her I Quit match against Bianca Belair, and she got injured and she'll be out for 9 months. So Sonya Deville came out to the ring to announce Bayley's injury and to announce who will be taking Bayley's spot in the Money in the Bank match. So we got a direct address from Bayley where she had her knee up and she was talking about like how she was trying to get better. Bayley is so amazing because she was still a heel in her in her address of her injury. She was still like, I hate you all, but yeah, I'm out for 9 months. So then we get Sonya Deville saying that, you know, Carmella is going to take Bayley's spot. But the sucky thing was Bayley and Bianca Belair were supposed to be in an I Quit match. So it doesn't look like it's not going to be an I Quit match. She kind of pulled the pump fake of like, Bianca won't be defending her belt at Money in the Bank. And you're like, oh man. But apparently she's going to be defending her belt against Carmella on next week's SmackDown. But then Liv Morgan came out and Liv Morgan was like, why do you keep giving Carmella things? And then, Sonya Deville was like, well, I was gonna say until I was rudely interrupted
were you?
That you, Liv Morgan, are, going to take Carmella's place in Money in the Bank. I thought she was just going to add her to the Money in the Bank because I was like, well, Carmella could still technically be in Money in the Bank if she's going to face Bianca on Friday. But if Liv is taking Carmella's place, there's still two spots we have not filled for SmackDown side of the Women's Money in the Bank, which is fine with me. I you know, we'll see where that goes. They don't have too many women, so okay.
Yeah.
So we'll just start there. Asia, how did you feel about Bayley's address and then Sonya Deville talking to Liv and then kind of kicking Liv out?
Yeah, so was Bayley blaming us for her injury? Like, I felt personally attacked.
It's your
like,
fault.
Yeah, okay. Okay, because I'm like, ma'am, I'm just meeting you. I was like, geez. So I definitely can see how like she's a heel. And then also I was glad to see Bianca because I haven't like I've only seen highlights through Twitter, you know, like her WrestleMania highlights and everything. So that was really cool. So what does the EST mean?
So she's the EST of WWE, which means she's the toughest, the fastest, the smartest, like add EST to anything. She is the best of the best.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's cool. It fits. So yeah, I thought that was funny. So Matt, your reaction to, Sonya saying like, oh, Liv, you're going to be in the ladder match. So did you think that like, if she hadn't confronted her that way, she wouldn't have been in the ladder match?
No, I think the shenanigans would still be the way they were. I think that it was strange though, because the spots were really running out in this match. So it actually was kind of getting a little like, oh, of course, like Liv Morgan's going to end up in the match no matter what. She had won a number of matches. Like she beat Zelina Vega in her return match as like a way of saying, I'm good enough. I deserve to be in this. So the story was that Liv Morgan would end up in the ladder match.
Yeah.
I'm glad it happened here because like obviously it was going to happen. And now we still have those, I guess, two spots that are open.
Right. Exactly.
Right? It sounds
yeah,
like
it's two spots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't know. Yeah.
I will say, though, that my one thing with this is that Sonya was like, you have 30 seconds to get out of the ring. If anyone tells me I have 30 seconds to do any, I'm going to run and get out of there. Like, Liv decided to saunter and hang around. So I think she got out in like 29, but that made me a little nervous.
Matt, that's so funny you say that. It's funny you say that because I thought you were going to say, if someone gives me 30 seconds, I'm going to take my time because that's my reaction. Like, you told me I have 30 seconds, then I'm going to take a minute and a half. Don't tell me what to do.
I guess I always want to tell my daughter anything, like, you have this amount of time. She's like, oh, okay. And then she just takes the time, like, to be just a jerk. Oh, the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jason, how did you feel about these two clips first?
It was good. You know, we talk about Bailey addressing, you know, the quote unquote fans. That was funny. It shows that you don't have to be like super like jumpy around to provide entertainment. I thought it was fun. Yeah. You know, then you got this Sonya Deville, like Matt said, I kind of thought too, like, I was going to say, like, no, I don't know if you were. I think you might be a little maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it was fun. Then Bianca Belair comes out. Like, I've only ever seen, like, Mari, because I follow you on Twitter, I think that's the only reason I've ever seen Bianca Belair anything.
Yeah.
But she's a lot of fun, so I can see why she's so popular right now.
You're welcome.
It was a fun time. Yeah. It was a fun time.
Yes, exactly. And it sucks because we've been building up to this Bailey and Bianca feud for months now. And the I Quit match, I was so excited to see. So I'm a little and it would have only been the second women's I Quit match ever.
Yeah.
But I thought Bianca, when Bianca's like, we don't even know if you're really injured, but get well soon. And that was my thought process too. I'm not gonna lie, because they made a very big deal of this injury. And normally I think she probably is injured. There were rumors that she was going to take time off after the I Quit match anyways. So it was probably like they were probably evaluating her for the match and they were just like, you know, let's just not and, you know, take your time now. But when they specifically say, oh, Bailey is injured, she's going to be out for 9 months. She's not going to be out for 9 months. Like, she's coming back before.
No, whoever stays out as long as they say they're going to say, she'll be back in 5 months.
Exactly.
That's what they can do, the Charlotte Flair thing where she comes out pretending to be injured and then, oh, she's not really injured.
Bailey will probably be back at like I would imagine the Royal Rumble, maybe.
Royal Rumble,
the other thing about this too is that like the doctors could say like, oh, it'll be 9 months. And then usually like the person's able to work and get ready to the point where they could show up again sooner.
Exactly.
Bailey might, I don't know. This is definitely not confirmed at all yet, but like we might see her in some kind of like announcer role or some kind of speaking role because she's been doing that. So hopefully we could see her do that. Also, she does deserve her time off. So
she does. Yeah, exactly. So
she could have, she wants.
Like very rarely do they put time limits on injuries, mostly because if you suffer like a very bad injury, you never know when you'll come back, like an Achilles tear. If you tear your ACL, stuff like that, again, you never know. And those are normally like at least a year plus. So them saying exactly 9 months, I was wondering like, what knee injury can you come back from 5 months away? Because that's probably what she got. Like maybe a torn meniscus. I've had a torn meniscus once, but so like I don't know, but I hope she's good. I hope she enjoys her time off. And the moment that they started introducing more women, that's when I was like, oh, that injury is not fake, because the SmackDown women's roster was already thin. Like I think they only had like 7 people on the roster max after they had did their cuts. So losing Bailey, who was in the main program, Sasha Banks isn't back yet. Hopefully she comes back soon. They had to then introduce, we'll go into our next clip, Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox appeared.
On a tank. As you do.
They debuted against Natty and Tamina, who are the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. And I was, it kind of sucks because Shotzi and Ember Moon were tagging. Like when we told you Shotzi and Ember Moon were the second NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. And they have been tagging for months now. So all of a sudden, Tegan Nox and Shotzi come out, and they're a new tag team. They're facing Natty and Tamina. They pinned Natty and Tamina, which, you know, they cut that nice babyface promo saying they're on SmackDown now. Very opposites, like, was it? You know, not I keep, you know, I want to say opposites attract, but it's not opposite. It's the
odd couple. Yin and yang.
Very, oh, no, okay. It's the odd couple vibe. Like Shotzi is like crazy rock and roller, and Tegan is just like really down to earth. And so my just thought process is, at first I was like, what? And then I again had to remember that before Tegan Nox left a year ago,
yep,
her and Shotzi had gone against Sasha Banks and Bayley for a tag team championship match. Yeah. So they were a tag team at one point. I just forgot because Tegan's been gone for so long. Matt, what do you think?
No, I mean, I'm cool with it. I mean, I like Ember Moon. I am a fan of Ember Moon. She is just like, she's a phenomenal athlete and everything, but it's like one of those things where we have to wait and we'll see what they do with her. So that's a little unfortunate, but yeah, my bigger thing is like with Shotzi and Tegan, like Shotzi Blackheart has a lot of personality and it's well established. There was a promo where she was talking about picking nose hairs from people, which
hilarious.
I don't want to mess with her. She could have my championship if she wants to pick my nose hairs. That's just not, I don't need that kind of pain. And, you know, but with Tegan, I just don't feel the personality or the promo skills or all that there. Now, it's probably there. It just hasn't been established. And I don't think she's had time to work that out in front of the cameras. So I'm really curious to see how things develop with them on the main roster, because they haven't had that character development time, especially together in any way that I could remember.
Right. Asia?
Yeah, was it just me or did they just not have like chemistry? It seems, I mean, I guess that's what you're saying by like odd couple, but it was like they were saying how, you know, we're going to be unstoppable. It's like, no, y'all kind of seem pretty stoppable.
So. There was some weird timing stuff in the match too. Yeah. There was like one moment where Natalia was catapulting Tegan into like a super kick from Tamina, who hesitated for some reason. And then there was something after that was weirdly timed. So maybe this definitely was not their best work at all.
Yeah. Probably a lot of a ring rust, because this is Tegan Nox's first actual match.
That's
back.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So not only just the ring rust, but also, you know, Natty and Tamina are some of the safer workers. So you got to build that chemistry. Like Asia said, they're Shotzi and Tegan hadn't tagged in a while. So it's just the chemistry has to build, you know, you have to, and the only way that builds is if you keep going. But I agree with Matt. I've never been drawn to Tegan Nox just because I've never felt her personality. And when she was on the indies, people loved her mostly because, like we were saying earlier, her wrestling skills, her shiny wizard and stuff like that. But she has lost a step, in my opinion, since her first knee injury. And so I think a lot of it is why it's careful and plotting, and it's just kind of like, she cannot afford to get injured again. I would probably bet money that if Tegan got seriously injured again, she would be released. Because she's probably been, she's probably, and I'm not wishing that on anybody, but like, she's probably been signed with the WWE. Right. Exactly. She's been signed with the WWE for at least 4 years, I want to say now. And of those 4 years, she's probably only wrestled on and off for a year in spurts. So, like fits and starts, really, to be quite honest. So, I don't know. Like Matt said, I have to see more, because Ember and Shotzi's gimmicks also work really well together for them to be a tag team. So now we're going the route where it's like, Shotzi's a crazy one and Tegan is going to be the straight man, and it's just, I don't know, we'll see. Jason, what did you think?
Oh, it was fun. When they came out on Tank, I was like, yeah, the metal.
Oh, yeah, dope. The Tank is cool. That's Shotzi's Tank. Sure. Like, that was Shotzi's solo gimmick. And then when she had partners, they just started hopping on them. But sorry, keep going.
They were giving them a lot of Tamina and, what is it, Natalia? Was that what it is? Mm-hmm. They got a lot of crap for losing, but I'm like, they didn't even know who they were facing. Like, they had no idea who they were going up against. They can prepare.
Yeah.
But those two seem like they were, how long have they been a tag team? They seem very, like, seasoned.
Yeah, they've been a tag team for a few months now, but they're both like seasoned veteran women's wrestlers. Like they've been each wrestling for like 12 plus years, something to that effect. Okay. They are the veteran women's talent in the locker room.
And I can see what you guys are saying about, like, you know, they weren't really gelling, Tegan and Shotzi in the after conference thing. It was a little awkward. Like, we're gonna pull the nose hairs, and she was like, what? Oh yeah, pull the nose hairs, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have for that one.
Yeah. And so again, we will address more SmackDown next week, but basically the Bloodline reunited. Roman got both his cousins back. Him and the Edge and Roman feud are really good. We got the Mysterios came back. Very exciting stuff. We'll see where that goes next week.
Yeah, especially to see like a Mysterio, because they were Edge and Rey Mysterio were tag team champions like 20 years ago for a hot second at least.
Oh, I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah. So that's great, exciting to see.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. And then finally, they filled out the men's side of SmackDown for the Money in the Bank. So we got King Nakamura versus Baron Corbin in their qualifying match, which is hilarious. We'll get to it later. But Nakamura beat Baron Corbin get that. Was that the final spot in he got one of the spots in the Money in the Bank. And then Seth Rollins beat Cesaro for the final spot. So, wow. Right. So on the SmackDown side, we have Big E, Kevin Owens, King Nakamura, and Seth Rollins for the Money in the Bank. That is such a great team. And also, just quick aside, Big E and Pat McAfee with their feet in those pedicure. What? It was so funny.
That was.
It was just them being goofy. It was so hilarious. I love Pat McAfee. I love Big E. And they were just so funny on ringside of King Nakamura and Baron Corbin's match. SmackDown is so good. It's literally the A show. Go watch it. Looks like we've been here for a very, very long time. I'm not surprised, because it's so great talking to the both of you, Asia and Jason. This was amazing. We're going to have to get you guys back on to create a real Hafsler. Jason, you just are too funny. So, like, every time you come on, we spend all our time.
You don't want to make me a wrestler? I don't know. I'm starting to get a little offended. I don't know, but it's okay. It's okay. That just means I got to come back a third time. That's all good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You either come back a third time, or we'll just say look out for a special wrestling wrap up where it's just us creating a wrap for Jason and Asia, because they're too funny and we can't get anything done but talk and laugh. But honestly, it is really, really great working with you guys today. Any final thoughts on just everything you saw? Because this is a lot. We talked about a lot, too. Like, we had a lot to go through.
Yeah, I just loved watching all the clips. And, you know, it sparked the kid in me that loved wrestling. So it was like, you know, this is really entertaining. I can definitely see, you know, now that I'm aware of who a lot of the people are, and now that I have a little bit more context, like keeping up with it, definitely on a casual level, you know, but it's like, it is very, I love what they're doing with wrestling, with the WWE. I didn't even know that they're like that Raw and NXT and SmackDown. Like, I've learned so much in the past like few days. So that's thank awesome. You so much for having me on. I'm glad I was able to finally come.
Of course. And let me know, which wrestlers do you think really piqued your interest that you liked over the course of what we watched this week? Like, who are you checking for, if you're keeping up with somebody?
Okay. I really like, obviously Bianca, Belair. I thought that Mustafa Ali. Yeah. I thought he was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm a little intrigued by MJF. I want to actually see him wrestle. And I do actually want to see the fight between or the match between the guy Karrion Kross and the other guy. Yes. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that. So those are a few. I'm trying to think of another woman that was just Naya. I thought that she was pretty cool. So
That's The Rock's cousin. So that's probably why you like her.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, how do you all use The Rock in some kind of way? I thought
right. Else on The Rock. We would need a whole nother podcast, Jason.
And a chart.
Explain that. Yes, a true chart.
Oh man.
All right. How about you, Jason? Any last thoughts?
I saw the last time I was here that I wanted to catch at least one of the shows after this, because I still feel the same way. Last time I was here, the show was very like supernaturally, where we had Alexa Bliss taking over Randy Orton, and it was like weird and crazy. But yeah, I do want to still try it. I didn't keep that promise last time. I didn't catch up with it at all. But I definitely want to try and get back into to something after this. And because I think it is a lot of fun. Like when I'm watching it, because it's so much fun. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much it. And I will leave you with, just remember, Mari likes to see old people get hurt.
Thank you.
It was a throwaway comment, y'all.
No hashtag. Yeah, but
you are not throwing that away.
Hashtag exposed. Is that
the hashtag? That's wrestling. For Matt. Hashtag that's wrestling. We got to make it happen.
I'm not going to remember that next week.
I'm going to spam you on your Twitter with hashtag that's wrestling.
Yes. So,
oh, my gosh. Jason, plug your plugs.
Yeah.
I zip around the RHAB universe. I'm all over the place. You'll see me in different places. My Twitter is at JYR1085. So hit me up.
Asia, plug your plugs.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. You can also find me on Instagram at Asia Like The Continent, where I love to do stories of my dog and my roommate's dog. So if you're looking at the video of this, this is my dog. She's Pepper. She's just been taking naps throughout this entire podcast, so that's been great. And then you can also catch me on the Sunday night recap for Big Brother 23. And then I'll also be on the where we're counting down the best seasons of Survivor. I'll be talking with Rob and Kirsten McInnes about Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. So I've had a blast rewatching that season. So if you haven't rewatched it or you have never watched it, I would definitely go recommend that. I would say it's in the top half for a reason. So I will be defending that I think it could have been higher, but that's where you can find me.
Wow.
It is the week of Asia, y'all.
Right.
Buffalo.
Asia. And by the way, I love all the similes in your social media handles.
Right.
And Asia, you're coming back for another Married at First Sight season as well?
Yes. So Married at First Sight season 13 is in Houston, Texas. It is starting July 21st. So definitely keep a lookout for more content coming covering that season. I covered last season, season 12 with Amy, and we talked about that. It was a crazy season, and you definitely don't need to watch Married at First Sight to listen to the podcast. If you're looking for some additional content, I had Mari on, I had Jason on, and we had a blast talking about Married at First Sight. So new season's coming, and I'm very excited. So keep a lookout.
Yeah. Can't wait to listen to that. Matt, like your butt.
Yeah, so at Matt Scott GW, follow me on Twitter, on Stereo. Again, also, if you're in the Job as a Squadcast group, just like post there and tag Mari and I and hit us up. We'll pop in there once in a while whenever the topics are going on and conversations happening there. I also will plug that I will be on the BB23, the first eviction recap, actually, Thursday. So that's coming up, and these live feeds and everything are already driving me wild. So if I'm sane still by that point, I'll be lucky that I could do the podcast. But thank you so much for coming on, by the way, Asia and Jason and Mari. What are your plugs?
Okay, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. It's looking like it's going to be a Wrestling Rehab Up Thursday because I will be on the live feed update next Thursday with Taryn Armstrong. Woo! Covering BB23. So very excited to jump into this crazy, crazy BB23 season. Other than that, we'll also be back after Money in the Bank for a live reaction podcast next week. We have a great guest lined up for next week as well, before the pay-per-view. So just stick with us. Let us know how you're feeling. Leave a YouTube comment. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And remember, this is the perfect time to sign up for the RHAP Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RHAP. Sign up and let them know that Wrestling Rehab Up sent you. Okay. So, outside of the Big Brother house, no.
And remember.
Remember.
It's always funny. It's always funny when an old person falls.
Good night.
And remember, watch out for any flying elbows. Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.